The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
He gives the ball. No, he doesn't. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower.
Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now, please.
Yes.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and lots to talk about. This is the only place to do it if you're a Patriots fan. PFW in Progress will be here until 2 o'clock today. The gang's all here. Eric, Paul, Andy, Kent. Kevin's back in the booth from Puerto Rico.
Kevin.
His first full week back. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PASS-500, toll free. And I mentioned lots to talk about, not all of it football related, but with football ties. You know, the big news around Boston was this tragic fire that happened yesterday in the Back Bay. Two firemen lost their lives, many, many more in the hospital with injuries, and literally down the street from where Tom Brady lives. And so he was on the local radio thanking the firemen for their work today. Because with the winds here, you know, people don't realize that, you know, we had 50-mile-an-hour gusts and pretty steady 40-mile-an-hour winds all day yesterday with this storm that was out at sea. And that made it really much, much worse than it would have been. And
did you hear the firefighter say it would have been a one-alarm, 20-minute fire?
20-minute, we would have been out of there.
But for the winds?
Yeah. But the winds just fueled the fire, and it got out of control. A 9-alarm fire here in Boston, which basically, again, I was listening this morning to the firemen, that's a general alert.
Right, that's their biggest.
Everybody. If you're in, you know, everybody's out there.
Any idea yet what caused it? Or are they, is it
no, but they don't believe it was arson. They believe it was a regular fire.
It started in the downstairs in the cellar and moved up quickly.
And some of those pictures are incredible.
Yeah, and we had one of our guys, Kenny Keller, lives literally diagonally across the street from the fire, one number away, the odd side of the street. So he took him an hour and a half just to get to the library to meet his girlfriend who he lives with because he couldn't get to his house.
Who he then ditched and went to the Celtics game, right?
Right.
Because he's an a-hole. Really?
But
yeah. Kenny living in the high-rent district over there.
Yeah,
huh?
Nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
So but yeah, they had a picture of Tom Brady out on his roof watching the firemen were on the ladder in front of him trying to get this thing under control. So that was what was going on here yesterday in Boston. That was big news. You know, and any time, you know, the firemen lose their lives in the line of duty, it's tragic. And it doesn't always happen a lot. You know, it's not often you hear that around here every once in a while, but it's not often.
And I thought the guys they had on Dennison County, and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting their names, the two firemen, the one who said, they kind of concluded with, he doesn't go to work thinking he could die that day. There's no point in worrying about it. And he said, I believe the phrase he was, but then the red devil
can
get you.
Right.
And it was like a kind of a chill went up my spine when he said it that way.
They all have to be aware of that, you know, because at any time, you never know. An explosion or something that just gets out of hand like yesterday.
And the way they described the two men, Kennedy and Walsh, who lost their lives, the firefighters, that they were like the toughest of tough. You know, one of them was this big mountain of a man. The other one was a Marine who spent time in Iraq.
Right.
Just like, you know, if it can happen to them, anybody can get taken down by the Red Devil.
So, you know, there was a movie years ago, Backdraft, with Kurt Russell, I think. That was based in Boston.
No, Chicago.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, what was the Boston one?
I don't know.
There was a Boston Fire movie that was...
I don't know.
It wasn't Backdraft, because I've seen that movie about 60,000 times.
Okay.
It was Chicago.
It was another fire movie based in Boston. I forget who was in it. I thought that
the Dennis Leary thing wasn't based in Boston, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
It was
Rescue Me?
Rescue Me?
That was New York.
That was New York.
Yeah, no, this was a movie. This
is
a movie. Strippers! I need help.
I do recall some sort, I think a Tommy Lee Jones movie that was about, I thought it was about bombs, though, not fire. And it was in Boston.
Well, maybe that's someone.
I think that might be what you're thinking of.
Yeah, it might be.
Even when we're discussing tragedy, we turn into a circus.
Anyway, all right, so that was that. And then, of course, video surfaced yesterday of Bill Belichick actually with the owners and GMs in that room where he actually made the pitch for the rule proposals. And it was interesting, I thought. You know, here he is in his jeans and his shirt and in the middle of all these owners. And I can see why he never wanted to do it before, because I think it's ridiculous the way you stand up there and Goodell sits at this on this dais like the king, and you're in court proposing, you know, please, King, don't kill my wife, you know, because I didn't pay my taxes. It reminded me of something like that, you know.
But you know that's how everything works, right?
Everything?
Yeah, like if you want to put in a pool and you have to go in front of the board of whatevers, the three of them sit at a thing and you have to present in front of them. It's the same damn thing.
I know, but
that's how it works.
I had to do it for my pool and my deck.
It just seems that Belichick should be the one sitting up there.
You're such a clown. You really are.
Listening to him.
I was just happy that he treats them with the same tone and facial expression and everything that he treats us.
And that's why people always say to me, you know, when we had the thing that we talked about with Ben Volen. And how he asked about Gronkowski and his timetable, and he snorted at him and said, you know, do you seriously just ask me that question or something like that or whatever? And my friends always ask me, has he ever done that to you? And I said, not like that, no, but he does it to everybody. And they're like, doesn't that button? I'm like, no, because he does it to everybody.
Right.
And when you see something like this where he's in front of the owners and
commissioner
of the league, and he treats them the same way he treats you. Badly, but the same way he treats you.
And much like in press conferences,
why get upset about it?
He had his laugh track, which in this case Fred told me was Bruce Allen,
right,
in the background, laughing at everything he says, thinking it's the funniest thing ever that Belichick is saying this, like cracking up. Whereas other people you can tell are like kind of rolling their eyes or whatever.
But, you know, if you're thin-skinned.
I figured that would be Sean Payton.
If you're thin-skinned and you're in the competition committee or the commissioner, you could take offense at the way he was saying it, because basically he's making fun of your rules.
Oh, yeah.
The rules that you implement.
You're not even allowed to block kicks anymore. You know? You can't touch a center.
So he basically repeated
might land on somebody.
Right. Repeated everything he said to us.
Oh, identical.
Yeah.
Oh, he is.
Verbatim.
He's a broken record. There's no doubt he's a broken record.
Well, he sticks to the script that he
created.
It's
not like the first time that he ever said it.
No, but a lot of people think when he says something to the media, it's calculated. It's however, that's his media. No. Well, unless he's treating the commissioner like media or whatever. Like, that's just how he is.
Well,
we see flashes of that, like when he's sitting down with Robert in their office, and it's the same Bill.
Football life.
Yeah. It's well, in this case, the point is the point, and there's no reason to change it depending on who you're talking to. That's my point. And, you know,
we're talking about an extra point.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, you know, the four different proposals. And I just thought it was interesting. You know, because we rarely get to see the inside of that room how it's configured.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's a lot more crowded than I thought it would be.
It's a ballroom.
But it's also not a room. It's the room at the hotel they're in that year. You make it sound like it's this grand room that you go to every time, and Goodell sits at this same it's in a hotel.
You know what I'm talking about. No, that's not what I mean. I mean the room.
You make it sound like there is at NFL headquarters, there is this age-old room with, like, mountains, you know, lions and sculptures.
Okay, well, maybe that's the way you thought I meant. what I mean is the people.
It's like the Great Hall at Hogwarts.
Right.
Something he makes it sound like that. Even like the Supreme Court or something that exists.
The rule.
This moves to a different city. It'll be in Palm Beach.
Goodell is like Abe Lincoln sitting on the big.
Right. And if you line up a scepter in the right light, the secret passage will open.
Wherever the NFL meetings are held,
the
room where they all gather. And, you know, it's a crowded room. There's
well, that's the first thing that jumped out to me is who the hell are all these people?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's GMs, it's assistants.
Yeah. There's a lot of.
You know, I saw.
But I know a lot of GMs and seemed like there were a lot of people in that room.
Well, I saw Bear sitting there. I'm sure Stacey James was in there.
A lot of PR people.
You know, so there's all those ancillaries, all the
because there was
entourages.
One midget.
Right.
There was one absolute midget that was sitting next to somebody.
Well, why do we have to get offensive like that?
That's offensive?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, tiny person.
To some people. You know?
Okay, there was one absolute tiny person sitting.
Well, who cares?
Yeah. He stood out because his head didn't reach the top of the chair.
He stood out because he didn't stand out?
Right, because everybody else was normal looking and he was a little midget.
Unbelievable.
What?
I you know.
The truth is never mean. He's a tiny little man.
No, it is when
the
you're making
you're
fun of
people. About it,
I'm not making fun of him. I'm saying he stood out.
Yeah. Of all the things to talk about, that's what he latches onto. All right.
That's Andy.
What else? Now,
how did we get there from talking about the Boston Fire?
That's what we do.
How did we get there?
Another report that came out. Mike Reese is reporting that talks are ongoing with Vince Wilfork. That, you know, the clarification of when Wilfork came in, cleared out his locker, reportedly tore down his thing. That happened a couple weeks ago. And then since then, and as of maybe yesterday, they are talking. That's according to Mike Reese.
I have a question on that topic.
Rappaport called it re-recruiting, by the way.
Re-recruiting. Okay.
Wilfork.
I'll buy that.
Was Cameron Grigian reported the thing about the locker on
correct.
Monday, I believe. Maybe Tuesday.
Yeah, it was Monday.
I think it was Monday during the day.
Yeah.
Was there some sort of misconception that had just happened?
Yes. A lot of readers.
Because I didn't get any.
A lot of readers were responding to her and to those of us in the media. Maybe you didn't get any, but
I got a ton of people saying
some people
you know,
were
it was
responding,
this true,
saying
blah blah blah.
Well, not just saying is it true. They were assuming it was happening that day because they were saying they were
because she didn't write that.
No, she didn't.
So
she
for
didn't
anybody
at all.
To have
she
assumed
was very
that,
clear.
I mean, it was very clearly
the first
written.
Line. Absolutely
Paul,
was
you know, fans.
But a lot of people were responding.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
With,
I didn't get a. You know, I didn't get people saying that this just happened. But all of a sudden, I think
the Herald didn't go out of its way to make sure you knew that it was.
Oh,
two
I think
weeks
they
ago.
Did.
Well,
I think they did. I think it was very clearly written that it wasn't something that just
Karen
happened because
clearly,
it said that he was on vacation. He then went on vacation.
Karen clearly wrote it, Paul. But I don't think the Herald minded too much that they got a lot of. They got a lot of run out of that story.
Well, of course,
I think
they did. It's a huge story.
It's huge, but it also was. A little deceptive in that some people now they weren't intentionally deceiving. Let me make that clear. But a lot of people misjudged and thought that it happened that day because they were making comments like, "Oh, how can Kraft say that Wilfork wants to come back when he's clearing out his locker?"
I didn't hear any of that.
Well, and again, these are people who aren't really
they're
reading.
Not really
well.
Reading it closely.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
They're reading
and
maybe
and
a headline, and they're just assuming that the headline. Means that it happened that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
that's
don't.
Their fault.
Yeah. I don't.
Not the Herald's.
I think the Herald gets the bump out of the story, not when it happened. I mean, I don't think there's anything in it for the Herald as to what day it happened. No one knew that happened, right? That Vince was that upset that he took his stuff out of his locker.
Yeah.
That you get the bump from that.
Sure.
Like I said, I didn't see any ambiguity there. That's why I was wondering. That's why I asked you guys.
But now it's clarified that was, a couple weeks ago. And according to Reese, the two sides are talking, which I'm not surprised at. That doesn't come to me as a shock.
No.
I figured, once the emotional part came out of it, both sides would talk. And we'll see. I still think if I had a bet, I'd say he's going to be here.
I'm with you, Fred.
Yeah.
After what's happened the last few days and what we've learned, I think.
And the market, what's
the market,
out there.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Other players at that position,
yeah.
I just don't.
Both Andy and Paul are, they're on their Twitter.
Well, I mean, we talked
Twitter
about
box.
This on Tuesday. I disagree with you guys. I don't think he'll be back. And well, we can sit here and argue about
you.
It if we want to.
You felt that way about Mankins and Seymour.
No, I think this has nothing
to do. You're very consistent about that.
I think this has absolutely nothing to do with Logan Mankins.
No, but
ding.
In all those situations, you felt that the player would not be back.
No, that's not true. This has nothing at all to do with Logan Mankins, who was in the prime of his career, coming off of his rookie contract. This guy's at the end when the Patriots generally let guys go.
I understand.
There's a big difference there.
You felt that both those situations, those guys wouldn't be coming back.
And they didn't.
They did.
And not in Seymour's case.
Yes, he did.
Traded him.
No. That was not the contract negotiation.
See, I think this is – all right.
When Seymour held out, you said he won't be back. There's no way he'll –
And they traded him. They brought him back and traded
him.
What does that tell you? They didn't want him back.
That wasn't when they signed him and re-signed
him. That's not what I'm talking about. You're talking about a different time.
That's when you said he wouldn't be back.
That's not true. See, this is – you just make stuff up.
It is. And Mankins –
I said that Mankins wouldn't be back because I didn't think he would come back and
– Right. And that's fine.
And play for what they offered
him. Right.
He didn't. He held out. And then they gave him a contract.
But they ended up coming back.
They're not going to do that to Vince Wilfork.
He ended up coming back.
They're going to make Vince Wilfork take less. Yes or no?
They'll figure it out.
I don't think he'll be back because of that.
Okay.
I don't think Vince is right. So you can twist it in any way you want. I don't think Vince is right.
I don't know why you're getting so defensive.
Because anybody that dares to disagree with your opinion on something, you have to throw stuff from 15 years ago back at him.
I'm just saying.
This has nothing to do with a guy who's 25 in a holdout as opposed to 32.
You're very consistent with players who, you know, and I think a lot of it is, you know, that's the way you feel. You're very principled. And
it has nothing to do with principles.
And when players have this, you know, principle type of argument.
I'm like spitting stuff out of my mind.
You feel that they're not going to come back. And that's, I understand that. It's very consistent with, you know, your stance. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Why are you laughing, Andy?
Because he knows exactly what you're doing to me intentionally.
Yeah.
Like, you make it sound like it is a principle thing, and that's why I believe that.
I think that
would imply that I think the same thing about every single one of these cases.
No, with Wilfork.
I take them all on a case-by-case basis.
With Wilfork, I think it's a principle thing.
It's not a principle thing.
I think it is. I think that, look, he probably
knows. If they did not make him the highest-paid guard in football, he would not be back. It's very simple.
Oh,
it's not a principle.
You're talking
thing.
About Mankins now.
Mankins. Yeah. That's why he came back.
Right, but
if they do that to Vince, he'll come back too.
I know.
If they pay him more money, he'll come
back.
But
there was a time.
They're not going to.
There was a time in the Mankins negotiation where it didn't look like he was ever going to come back.
Right. With Mankins?
I mean, with the type of.
I thought that he wouldn't be back because I didn't think the Patriots would pay him that. That's why I was wrong about that.
Right.
I was wrong because the Patriots paid him.
It's not a matter of right or wrong.
It's just
where your opinion's coming from. That's all.
But it's not a matter of principle.
You could be right here. I mean, Wilfork may not be back.
But to say it's principle means
you're so condescending.
Thank you very much.
Why?
You are such an ass.
I'm not even upset about whether or not anybody agrees. It's the condescending nature that's getting under my skin.
It's fine. You're entitled to your opinion.
I don't
You were wrong then, and you'll be wrong now. That's the only thing missing from that sentence. It's got nothing to do with principle.
I think it has a little to do with my principle.
You're telling me you don't have any principles. You're telling me it's because of you're very principled and you're consistent. No, I'm not.
You're not principled?
Each different guy is a different case.
I think that Vince
should take the pay cut if he wants to keep playing.
But you understand where
but
you're coming from.
But you think that my principle is I'm always pro-player, and I think the player's getting screwed.
You understand.
In this case, I think that's wrong.
You understand where Vince is coming from, though.
Not really.
No?
He's 32 coming 100%. Off a major injury.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. And somebody wrote in the other day and kind of made a good point. I don't want to steal his thunder. I think it was SP or something like that. He didn't really – oh, yeah, here it is. SP, or Sean in New Hampshire. Vince has received roughly 81% of the monster deal from the Patriots already. Check the math before saying he's going to take a pay cut. He has not taken a pay cut. He's being a huge 325-pound baby. $11.7 million to $6.7 million. Quit being a P-U-S-S, puss, and sign the extension Vince. I don't know.
See, these people are going to make me side with Vince even
right.
more.
We don't know the details.
I continue to say, When I was outperforming my contract and I was 26 or 25, it was finish your deal and then we'll work it out. Now, it's not finish the deal, it's we're going to work this out now.
But his point
that is not
his
fair.
His point is of the, what was his deal? 65 million?
40.
40.
40
5
million?
Years, 40
Holy,
million.
Would I have complained had it been 65 million.
So of the 40 million, he's received 33 million of it. 33 and a half million
33.
Of it. You know, so if they do an extension, a new extension, and this year he only makes 3 or 4 million, well, really, he's only taken.
No, but that gets to the principal thing, as I said.
Yeah.
You told me we'll just play it out. We play out contracts.
Right.
Now, I'll be happy to play out my contract, and you're telling me it's time to change.
I know, but
it's like that old saying. When they tell me it's a business, whatever it is, it's personal.
No, I understand. And that's where we understand where Vince is coming from. But,
yep.
But if you sit down with a little less emotion.
I'm very emotional.
And you look at it. And you say, well, you know, this happens not just to me. It happens to guys all over the league.
It doesn't mean I have to just roll over and take it.
At the end of the day, of $40 million, I collected $37 million. Okay, well,
or I can tell them to go F themselves and go play for the Dolphins. And every time I play them, try to absolutely kill Ryan Wendell and kill Logan Mankins and be emotional for the next 2 years.
He could do that. Yeah, he could do that.
And I think if it were that close, I think it would be done. I don't think it'll be that close.
No.
$37 million. I don't think they'll get $5 million this year. I think they want him to take a good solid pay cut.
As they should, by the way.
Listen.
I can jump sides here.
Right.
Well, they're both right. I have no problem with him being emotional and pissed off and want to stick it up their rear end. And from the other side, you're coming off an Achilles. You're 32
well,
and you're fat.
Okay,
I can't pay you.
That's okay, Andy. Your principles. You know, that's the way you look at these things. I mean, what do you mean? Rationally? Looking at both sides and weighing both sides?
You know.
That's exactly how I feel.
Aren't both sides right?
Sure.
I think the Patriots are listen, it's
that's
not.
That's what makes the worst negotiations, though,
not
when both sides are right.
It's not the Patriots' fault that the rules are set up. So all the things that Andy just said about contracts, that's life in the NFL.
Well,
it's not the Patriots' fault that that's the way things are.
I don't take it quite that fully because it is the Patriots' fault that it's always play out your contract and we'll give you an extension. They could choose, and I got into the fight with Fred on Tuesday, like other teams do. No. Other teams, plenty of teams, tear up the final 2 years of a deal and give you new money.
No, I know, but
he
played out his contract and they gave him an extension.
No, but it is the Patriots' fault that they make you play out your contract and then don't on the other end.
Yeah.
Whereas to me, if another team, if the Jets rip up Darrell Revis and give him a $60 million extension and then at the back end of that come to ask him to rip it up and take a pay cut, to me, that's more fair. Cause I ripped it up when you had leverage and now I'm gonna, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas the Patriots, it's two different stories. You play out your deal because I have the leverage, but now, you know what I mean? It's not fair. You can argue it's not fair.
But you can also argue that when you go to a Gronkowski and when you don't have to give him that extension, it's kind of like ripping
extension.
It up.
Extension.
Yeah,
but they don't rip it up.
But they don't have to do what they did.
But
it's smart business to do it.
Right, and that's the only reason they do it, because they think they're saving money when he gets to free agency.
See,
that's the only reason.
If it was a true extension and they didn't keep those years on the end, and they ripped up those years like Andy's talking about, then I would
different
say
they didn't
have to
different
do that.
Different story. Yeah. But they have traditionally done true extensions.
But
it has been a bone of contention for a lot of people, and I would argue that it therefore makes this a bone of contention for Vince Wilfork.
Yeah. But I actually think the Patriots are right about this. I think that he's a 32-year-old guy at a position that I don't think is as important as it was when he signed that contract, and he's coming off a major injury.
And some would argue even at the time he signed the contract.
I did. I didn't want it.
Right.
Oh,
but
I didn't want to sign him to that
from
contract.
From Vince's perspective, all that what you said may be true. So cut me.
Oh, that,
if
yeah.
I'm such a diminished person, then I won't make money on the open market, and you have nothing to worry about.
And that's
or I can go sign with the Dolphins for X million dollars a year, make your life a living hell, and prove to everybody that I can still be a Pro Bowl tackle.
Right.
Bring it. Just give me my release. Bring it.
And that's why.
That's what I think
he
should be saying.
Said.
But and that's the only thing in a nutshell.
Tear down the nameplate.
As to why I don't believe, I don't agree with this era of good feeling. This is exactly what everybody was saying last year about Welker. Oh, we want him back. Oh, he's a special person. Yeah, whatever. Pay me. And they don't. So if they don't, I don't think he'll just come back for whatever. Now, what I think might happen is I think they might squeeze him. I think they might lawyer Malloy him. I mean, everybody wants to talk about Logan Mankins and the similarities. This has zero similarity with Logan Mankins. The only similarity between this and Mankins is that they're both on the Patriots. Yes, constantly.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, it's because, a contract negotiation.
Because they look at it as Mankin's had contentious things to say about the organization, and Will Fork is acting in a contentious manner now with taking the stuff out of the locker. That's the only similarity.
But he acted in a contentious manner last time, too, when he said, I can win other places.
Right.
He flat out said, you know, everybody wants to talk about winning, but I can win in other places. Right. So there was some contentious nature last time.
There was. Yeah.
So to
so
me,
that,
yeah.
That was more like Logan Mankin's thing than this.
It's always been
because
this
is different.
He was in the prime of his career. Right. There's a huge difference. They're not going to just kowtow to Vince this time.
Nor should they, by the way.
No. I think the Patriots are right.
Well, like I said, I think the difference, the X factor here is Robert Kraft. I think were it not for him and his affection for the player, I think it would be a much colder decision by the team. And I'm not saying
Bill
Belichick.
Who says it's warm right now?
Oh, I think
certainly not Vince.
Well, no, and you heard the words of Robert Kraft. I don't.
Yeah, I know, and those are the words that I heard about Wes Welker.
I know, but I think he does mean it. And
from
I think
Vince's,
I think he meant it about Welker.
But what do you mean by colder? Because I think from Vince's perspective, if colder meant they released him on the start of the new league year, he'd be happy.
Yeah, well, I think when I mean colder, when it's cold, you don't take into consideration what he meant to the team, what factor he is in the locker room, what factor he is in the community, the fact that we want him to be a lifelong Patriot. Those are the warm feelings that don't go, you know. So by the mere fact they're mentioning those things, those are things that his agent's talking about too. So that's kind of warming up the deal a little bit.
In the public spectrum, yes.
And it's
but
also,
is it in the back room? I don't know.
Well, but you can also use that on the Patriots side. Hey, Vince, isn't it worth something to be with the same team? Isn't it worth something the fact the community ties you've made? Isn't it worth something?
Sure. Both sides can argue.
Right. What? So you can use it. But again, it's warming up.
I don't think it means anything
for
either side.
What is that worth?
Well, that's the thing. That I don't know. Okay. You know, to every player, it's different. Some guys may have no problem.
It's not worth
uprooting
as much to him
there.
As being in Miami.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's not
going to
be.
And
a
I don't think he's
New
going
Englander.
To the Dolphins. I'm just saying the city of Miami.
No, I
that's
understand.
Where he's from.
His home.
You know,
home
some
state.
Guys yeah. being
sure,
home.
I didn't mean. Yeah. I don't want people
right.
thinking
plantation.
Home,
you know,
or
to Teddy Bruschi, that meant a lot.
Yeah, but he was going to be here. It seemed like.
Well,
he was entrenched. I don't think Vince is entrenched.
I don't know. Maybe he is.
And
maybe he isn't.
And maybe,
well, he flat out has a home in Florida, right. Which is his home to start with.
Yeah.
So he would seem to be more rooted.
And maybe
in
it does mean something to Vince. I'm just saying, what does that get him?
It shouldn't.
If
I don't think it should mean anything to anybody.
I doubt when
because I can get a $50,000 Big Y commercial.
I hate that whole notion.
Big whoops.
He can only be Vince Wilfork in New England. Yeah. Okay.
I doubt he'll be living here when he retires.
No chance.
Yeah, I doubt it too.
Football. Gone.
Most of these guys are gone.
I'm surprised when they stay. I don't know why you would.
Right.
It was like going back to our lead story. Why is Brady here?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here if I didn't have to be here. I would be in either Costa Rica or California or someplace. It's been absolutely miserable for weeks now. Why is he here?
Right.
He looked miserable on that roof.
Right. Yeah,
go someplace where you should be on a paddleboard or something. No. Now I'm criticizing him for being here. Only in
well, East and Coast, he was coming here.
East
too,
Coast
right?
is in the West Coast now. It's
is
cool,
it?
It's cooler to be here. Yeah.
It's literally cooler. It sucks.
Yeah, right.
It's cooler, all right.
Yeah. All right.
It's about 20 degrees in this studio right now.
What else we got? What else do you want to talk about today?
Johnny Manziel's pro day going on. George H.W. Bush and the former first lady in the house.
Okay. All right.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Before
sitting
the,
in a golf cart on the side?
Before the...
And Gil... Brandt had to let us know. Very, very nice of him to acknowledge me with a wave.
Oh, but
get off yourself.
Now, GW is a big...
race to everybody.
Is from Houston. That's kind of where he's based, right?
Yes.
I see him in a lot of the...
no pressure, though, Bill O'Brien.
The baseball
the president
games,
wants
right?
him.
Doesn't he go to a lot of the Houston baseball games?
I believe so, yes.
So maybe there's a Texans tie there.
But does he have A&M tie? Is his library there?
Yeah, his library
oh,
is
okay.
A&M.
Oh, okay. That's probably why.
And you said it was HW?
I don't know. Which
yes,
one's
the older
one?
The older one.
Oh, the older one.
Yeah. Yeah. HW is the older one.
Right.
Yeah.
But that is a little pressure if the president wants you to draft him. Screw the president. I'm trying to win games here.
My Hut Sports take that I gave before the show started, Johnny Manziel will not be drafted in the first round.
Fred's Hut Sports take that he stole from Ron Jaworski.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
About 2 months ago.
Okay.
He should not be drafted in the first round, I think, is an argument. That he won't be, I think, is ridiculous. He will be drafted in the first round. Paul and I have had a long argument sort of comparing Manziel to Russell Wilson and Russell Wilson's package coming out of college and all that. And he was a third round pick. And you could certainly argue that Manziel's more talented, but he also has a lot more issues. So how does that leap you from third round pick to top three pick?
Well, if you go back in time now, would you take Russell Wilson in the first round?
Sure. I would not, but
Paul would. So maybe there's GMs that are learning from that.
But you know what?
That's a terrible way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
I mean, there's obviously guys that are picking
Russell
all
Wilson.
Rounds. I mean, Tom Brady I would pick in the first round too, but based on his college career, I wouldn't have taken him in the first round.
Yeah.
Based on Russell Wilson's college career, it didn't come close to Johnny Manziel's.
Right.
I wouldn't have taken him in the first round.
But he was the perfect guy. He was a leader.
Right.
Whereas Manziel is a guy whose mother
was. Russell Wilson was
apart.
A very good college quarterback. He was productive in two different schools, but he wasn't great.
No.
He wasn't a Heisman Trophy winner.
I mean,
he didn't strap a team on his back and win games by himself the way
he
did it that Manziel did. Now, I agree with
Andy.
I'm
scared to death of Manziel.
He scares me. He's so unconventional. That you just don't know how he's going to translate. And even I just watched his tape today. Not that you know we're all more than familiar with all his highlights because he just every week was doing something crazy, running around. Remember the play we were watching the wide receiver Evans, and I said to you because it was just showing the film was just showing the wide receiver downfield and obviously making an adjustment as the quarterback is scrambling. And I chuckled to Andy. I said, can you imagine what Manziel's doing on this play? He's probably ran around with his back to the line of scrimmage four different times. You can't do that in the NFL and get away with it consistently. He'll make plays, but he's going to make a lot of bad plays too. I agree with Andy. He'd scare the crap out of me.
I would not draft him in the first round. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
And I don't think Bill O'Brien will.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be stunned if O'Brien takes him.
Somebody's going to take him. It's going to be a Jacksonville or a Cleveland, somebody who wants the bang for the buck, but it's not a good decision.
Yeah. I wouldn't. I'm with you guys. I'm scared of having to, you know, hitch my wagon to him. You know, I just don't know what he's going to do.
I'm more afraid of the ability.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's going to be like Wilson.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I don't think he's...
I don't think
I don't want to say he's not as smart as Wilson. He probably is, but I don't think he has the presence, the pocket presence, and the patience maybe that Wilson does.
Certainly doesn't right now.
Yeah.
And as we've seen, quarterbacks like that don't generally end up being
And it's hard
winners.
To get out of that habit of, you know, okay, my main guy's covered. I'm out of here. It's hard to get out of that.
Well, he doesn't
he
do
knows.
That. He runs around.
He runs around.
That's even worse.
He's like Fran Tarkenton.
Like, I don't, if he was just a runner, I would sit there and say, well, he'll get that knocked out of him.
Right.
He's a scrambler.
Yeah. That's
There's
a good
difference.
Point. Yeah, there is a difference.
That to me is hard because, like I said, he'll make plays. He's also going to make some bad plays.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll be entertaining to watch for
whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yes. Chris Berman going to get a workout.
You know, if he was just one of those guys, like Michael Vick was a sort of, my first guy's not there, I'm taking off. You can have success doing that.
Right.
You know, eventually you're going to get hurt the way Michael Vick has consistently gotten hurt.
And not win
the
Super Bowl. Mike Vick.
Okay.
Well, now Paul's going to fight Eric.
Is that not
ding,
a fact?
Ding.
Has, has he won a Super Bowl?
It's absolutely a fact.
Okay,
it's a fact for a lot more than not. You know, I don't know why we had to take an unnecessary shot at poor Michael Vick.
I don't consider him
poor.
Michael Vick? In any way.
Oh, okay.
Remember,
I forgot.
Eric's got the new dog charity.
I forgot. My bad. You know, hurt a dog.
Well, no, you're talking about money-wise, right?
I'm talking about both.
Oh, both.
As a human being and as a...
And I forgot that.
And as a rich, overpaid, spoiled brat.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, I would like to see play on another team, you know, where it's not all in place for him the way it is on his team now.
Right.
But Johnny Manziel scares me more for his ability than for his off-field stuff. And the off-field stuff is a question. Like, Russell Wilson is exemplary.
Right.
With all the other, the intangible stuff.
Right.
And that puts him over the top. And Manziel is considered to be sort of the opposite of that. He's kind of wild and party-goer and... You know, is he the leader? Is he the guy that you want being the face of your franchise? A lot of people have questions about that. I'm much more afraid of the on-field stuff.
Yeah.
Can he
play? I think
play?
It's both, and that's why I don't understand why he's such a top prospect.
Can he play? Can he succeed doing that? And I don't know if he can.
I think everyone's
he's
caught
need
up
to
in
change.
The hype.
He's definitely going to
need to change. I think it's all a
hype machine.
He is a fun person to watch play college football. There is no one arguing that. He was very successful playing college football.
And I think you can...
He's not going to play college football anymore.
You can argue that he has a similar off-field behavior to... Gronkowski.
Yeah.
But you can't, I don't think, argue that it's more important for a quarterback not to be like that than
right.
for a tight end
yeah.
or a wide receiver.
You can't be a frat boy quarterback. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And if you do that, you're going to be inconsistent, like, you know, like a guy like Joe Namath, who was terribly inconsistent throughout his career. You know, the highs were there, but, you know, the lows were really bad.
Yeah. Robin from Alaska, if Vince uses Andy's point of view, the pro-Vince one, obviously, couldn't the Patriots argue that they try to let contracts play out early because they are shuffling around who gets paid each year, that it's business then and the same business now, the principle on the Patriots side doesn't conflict, the pie is only so big. Well, but,
I don't know what that means, but I don't agree with one bit of it.
Well, the difference is when
price as big as you want it to be.
All those other ones, they don't ask the guy, like Gronkowski and Hernandez, they didn't ask him to take less money. And we're assuming that's what they're doing here. There's a difference, you know.
Well, if we come to find out that they're not asking him to take less money,
then this is ridiculous.
This is 1,000% on Vince's
right.
plate.
Right.
You think
I gotta,
that's the case?
I got to think they're asking him to take
because
a,
I even
would you
think,
call it a haircut?
Yeah, because if you look at that 60 Minutes piece that he did, they fully were aware that something was going to happen this year, that it's only business.
Right.
So it's not like they got blindsided by this request, whatever it was. So,
but it got personal.
Yeah.
You don't rip your nameplate down because it's only business.
Right. I think that Vince was frustrated because they weren't talking to him, honestly. I think they made him a deal that they thought was unfair, Bianca and Vince. And then after that, it was radio silence, and I think that's what pissed them off.
Because now
you're
going
down. Why aren't you talking to us?
Because you're going down Lawyer Malloy Road.
Yeah.
Every day closer to the regular season
right.
is an increased leverage
stall
for the New England
tactics.
Patriots.
And that's what
right.
I think is
but not
happening.
Just stall, it's leverage. The
yeah.
leverage on New England side grows.
Well, using stall tactic to get the leverage.
Right.
Right. And I think that's what frustrated him is that why aren't you talking? But now I guess they are.
See, I think the Lawyer Malloy example is much more appropriate.
Oh, it is.
Than any of the other
ones.
It's
identical. The only
used.
Difference is it's starting early.
But
we're well aware of it early.
And I don't know this to be, I know this is what I heard, that in the Lawyer Malloy case, they were talking to the agent. The agent was being a complete dick.
It is a surprise.
What? You know?
I think we're on to say that.
Hey, Patriots negotiations. Whose fault? Agent.
Well, you know, a lot of cases it is. You know? Everybody hung up. I was just going to go to the phones.
The agents don't understand how to do it.
And they all hung up. I'm sorry.
But the Malloy thing, to me, I think that they thought he was bluffing. They thought once they backed him into a corner, he would finally acquiesce and take the pay cut. And he didn't.
He was looking for a
family. I'm not sure Vince will either.
That's my point. I don't think he's going to.
But
Kevin, did everyone hang up?
I agree. I think if it goes down to the wire, then Vince will dig in and won't do it. I think something's going to come about.
Christian was on the phone.
Listen,
for like
you guys might be right.
Minutes.
That's certainly the way everything is being portrayed right now. Is that it's going to happen?
I just think it makes too much sense because I don't think, I don't know what he thinks he's going to get on the open market or where he thinks he's going to go and what the interest is going to be.
And you assume that they have an idea, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, back channeling it.
But I assumed Wes Welker's agents had an idea and they didn't.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Christian's back on the line. Hey, Christian, how you doing?
Hey guys, what's going on?
We're just arguing about everything.
Andy, you're the biggest fraud in the history of fraud.
What'd I do?
Okay? Because you just said on the top of the hour the whole thing with Brady. All you did was bitch and moan about how we didn't have the space. Now that the guy's here in March, it's cold. You want him in Costa Rica. Make up your mind.
I said I'm being hypocritical, but
I heard you.
I wouldn't be here. He was. It was freaking frigid. Even if
but
he was
what?
Here, I would have left this week when I saw the damn forecast.
Did you hear Minahan say I'd be here 8 Sundays a year?
But I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on, it was an article today about Logan Ryan possibly moving to safety.
I saw that. Yeah, I hate it.
I
don't hate it.
Well, you have Harmon. What are you going to do with him?
Backup.
We drafted the guy who played safety at his college to be a safety here.
I don't care.
So what is going on?
If there's something I see as a coach that makes me think Logan Ryan could be better than Harmon, I'm going to give him a shot.
Yeah, if they see that.
Right. I'm assuming they do.
The track record.
Well, the report could be wrong.
Right. Report could be wrong.
I was citing a source, another Karen Grigian report, by the way.
Yeah, so there you go.
In yesterday's Herald. I don't understand the infatuation with Logan Ryan. Let's just put it that way. I don't get it.
I just wish there was infatuation. Like, we drafted him as a corner, and now he can't play corner. We're going to move him to safety.
Well, we drafted him as a corner, but now we got Revis and, you know, Alfonso, and we've got...
And we drafted Harmon as a corner in the same round.
Yeah.
So now we blew that one.
Look,
so we should never draft a safety again, because we don't know what a safety looks like in the NFL.
I'd rather them try to use these guys the best way they can to be stubborn.
Yeah, you know, but
we draft him as a corner. He has to be a corner.
Just,
about,
just so you know, the way they use them is not proven that they know how to use them and make it work.
I don't care.
About,
keep trying.
But why do you
keep trying?
But why do you sit there and say that what Ryan does, you know, is conducive to safety?
I have no idea.
Okay, so you're just automatically just accepting it.
No, I'm just
saying what he does.
If the report,
Patriot Fred.
If the report is true, maybe they see something in him that say, you know, he'd be a better safety for our team than a corner. See,
which is what they saw in Tavon Wilson to draft him.
This is where you turn to him and say, yeah, Fred, you're a principal. Do you always agree with everything the Patriots? Right. See, this is what you should have done.
Had I been prone to take cheap shots, I might have done that. We know that I'm never sarcastic, so I don't stoop to such levels.
I'm assuming they treat the players a little bit more than a little league team and just throw them out there. I think that they know. You know, they look at the guy's core capabilities and say, okay, let's give him a shot at safety. He might be more valuable to us there than corner, if the report is true. It may not be.
I'm sure the report is true.
And they could do that, and he could stink at safety. So, right. You know.
Because they have a questionable at best track record knowing what the hell to do with defensive backs.
Hey, can't argue with that.
You know? No, it just aggravates me because it got to the point that you guys say a lot, like, can't we just draft a guy to play that one position?
No.
And not play nine positions?
Yeah,
that's my
play the
thing.
One.
Sure.
Be really good at the one.
Right. At this point, we'll have two corners out of Rutgers who can't play corner. We'll have a safety out of Rutgers who apparently can't play safety. Maybe we'll move him to corner and he'll be fine there, even though for his entire college and pro career, he was the safety while the other guy was the corner.
But the good news, Christian, is...
Should we stop drafting from Rutgers, then?
And talking
maybe we
to
should
Ron
stop drafting
Rivera,
in the back end. Just sign like Darrell Revis, and then when there's a great safety,
I'm
we'll sign him.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. The good news, though, Christian, is Ron Rivera spoke at the owners' meetings, and he told us that Brandon LaFell is, you know, not just a wide receiver, but he can play tight end, and he's a great blocker. He was among the leaders in drops, but that's okay because he can block and he can play tight end. So we got that going
and
for
I'm sure he plays special.
Wow. Boy.
He just can't catch. That's all.
Yeah, the one flaw he has is catching
the
football.
We haven't even started playing.
But that's the
players
stuff.
Haven't even reported yet.
I can't wait till we get Brandon LaFell on in a couple of weeks. Hey, Brandon, good to have you.
Hey, welcome.
Yeah, you can.
So versatility.
Something tells me based on the stuff that I've been reading that I don't think we'll be having Brandon LaFell on.
Yeah, he doesn't. You know,
doesn't seem like he does a lot of media.
So he really is Bill's wet dream.
Yeah.
Why, okay. All right,
Christian. Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, so, hey, I agree with that. If you draft a guy to play corner, he can't play corner, forget it. Because he sure ain't going to play safety. Cordy is a good example.
Wait, I'm not sure I said that exactly what he's crediting me with saying.
Anytime Eldridge starts off with, I agree with you, it's not a good thing for you.
I'm not saying that a guy can't move positions and you shouldn't smartly take advantage of his skill set. I'm saying, A, I don't buy it personally. And B, why should I have confidence if you don't know how to pick corners and safeties that you have this great skill of knowing when to move a corner to safety?
But
you only moved McCourty to safety because A, it was out of dire need, and B, he couldn't have sucked anymore as a corner.
Right.
Who? Logan
McCourty.
McCourty. Yeah.
So it's not like they had this grand scheme in mind of moving him to safety. He fell flat on his freaking face at corner, and you needed a safety. So you lucked into it. Much the way you got Eugene Wilson, who you drafted to play corner, and lucked into him playing safety when Antoine Sweetfeet Harris fell flat on his face.
Putting.
So the track record here isn't exactly Bill knows how to turn, you know, crap into gold in the back end. It's kind of like he falls into it, and it just happens to work out sometimes.
Well,
it's funny how it happens when you have Tom Brady playing quarterback.
I think they do a good job at, once they have the guys on the roster, recognizing what their strengths are and putting them in a position to succeed.
So good that they had Antoine Sweetfeet Harris as the backup
plan. Look, you're talking about a roster of 53 guys. Every team has those guys where, you know, come on, let's be fair.
That what? That
not
they every, pencil in as the
not,
perfect
not
fit?
Not every player on every team is, you know, really good at the position and, you know, to the level that you're expecting. Come on.
To the level that you have to yank him in the first game he ever plays
guy,
as your plan B.
Come on. Let's be fair.
But you're willing to just go all in and say, Bill knows how to take his players when they're on his team, so Logan Ryan will be a perfect safety.
I think they do a pretty good job with their roster.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
I agree 100% with Eldridge.
Okay, good. You team up with Eldridge.
No, they don't.
I don't think they're
because,
great
you know what? I'd rather pick up Champ Bailey and put him back in safety and get rid of...
I'm off of Eldridge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so here we go. You know, so the guy that knows more than Bill Belichick and his coaches wants to put Champ Bailey back there.
No, I'm going
Wait a minute. Who said anything about knowing more than Bill Belichick?
Well, obviously you guys do.
Why, because we don't agree with some of his moves?
Some. Sounds like anything.
Any areas at which he has a track record of blowing it up?
No, he put Tom Brady at quarterback. I agreed with that.
Okay.
Move.
Fine move. Well, did he?
Fine move.
Mo Lewis put him at quarterback.
But he stayed with him. I give him credit for that move. He could have gone back to the
old.
I
thought you wanted to go back to Drew.
No, he would have been wrong.
I thought you did at the time.
No.
Okay,
no,
you break
not
it up,
after he won all those games.
Eldridge, the answer is simple. It's D1, Deion Buchanan. D1. That's the answer. It's not Logan Ryan.
Marcus is in Miami. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Just listen to the conversation about the Logan Ryan thing moving to safety.
Yeah.
That would be our second Rutgers player that was a cornerback and I moved to safety.
Yeah.
I think it kind of worked out with McCourty a little bit. I mean, I don't know, man. I've been listening to you guys. Do we really have a problem drafting the secondary, or is it just, I mean.
I think you have to say yes.
Yeah, absolutely have a problem.
We whiffed on a lot. I mean, even about re-signing. I told you, man, that Lee Biden thing I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we whiffed on that. Darius Butler, whiffed on that. Deron Hart, I mean.
Yeah, no, I think there has been a problem with that, and I think that, you know, you say McCourty worked out at safety, but if you knew he was going to play safety, you didn't have to waste a first-round pick on him.
You would have put him at safety.
But he didn't he have, like, 7 picks in his rookie year?
He yes. did, but.
Then he's kind of stunk it up to the sophomore slump, and then we moved him to safety, so we didn't know what he'd do.
His sophomore
slump continued into the junior part of the season
when
Joe Flacco was lobbing it up over him with amazing regularity for the worst pass defense in football that was giving up 20-yard plays like a historic rate.
Right.
Well, I think Kyle Anderson has something to do with that, guys. I mean, if you look at any of our tapes, 24 is out there. Well, not hopefully the new 24, but 24 was out there. I mean, I remember Sidney Wright beat him in that Seattle game the week before that when we played Arizona when Brennan Spikes got that oh my God! Fumble, and they missed the field goal. Gutowski. So I mean, I've been noticing that. I mean,
what did that have to do with Arrington?
I don't know. Kyle Arrington. The answer
Kyle
to
Arrington
Paul's
was
question.
Response, I told you
when Steve Gregory left, Paul said the Patriots will need to find a new whipping boy. They have found him. His name is Kyle Arrington.
And believe me, it took less than 30 seconds for people to tell me it will be Arrington.
I think he's already been on whipping boy, but I mean, he's good in the slot. I mean, I won't take that away from him.
No, he isn't. That's the problem with all these people. That's Jeremy Curley could not have whipped his ass any better. And Jeremy Curley is a mid-level slot receiver.
Yeah, that's true.
He's okay. He's okay. With you know, it's a tough league to defend the passing. It really is.
Oh,
you know,
I think it's the hardest position in all of sports. I have said that. Cornerback to me is the hardest position in all of sports. It's goddamn ridiculous. I just don't think you can do it. I think it's impossible.
Yeah, well,
that's why Revis is worth his weight in gold.
Transformational player. Thanks, Marcus. Let's go to Jeff in Vegas. We haven't heard from him in a while. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up? What's happening?
Not too much. I've been in the bunker of late just trying to grind out some putting that nest egg together. Had a little bit of a rough season this year.
So yeah, I think you're just running away from creditors. Yeah.
Yeah, a little of that as well. But along those lines, quick shout-out to the PFW Elite.
Yes.
I know there's a lot of listener-on-listener crime in these parts, but they really do a great job. For a true Patriots fan, I mean, it is a great platform. Just throwing it out there for the one-year anniversary.
PFW Elite is awesome. They've been helping me out in my fundraising tremendously the last few days. Like $300 has come in from them. Keep it coming. You guys are the best. Preamble to Jay.
Tremendous. Great.
Oh, you are
there.
Such a fraud.
You know the way to get to Andy's heart.
Right.
Bribe him. Food.
Yeah, moving on. I'm excited about Revis, you know, sort of taking stock of the acquisitions thus far. I just want to get a feel for you guys. How much would a playmaking downfield threat in the receiving game is make a difference? Is that overrated? Or how close could that get them to a Super Bowl? Or does it not really matter? They're okay with what they have.
Matters a huge amount. Would you not want Calvin Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald?
I think it makes a difference.
Or the old Randy Moss?
You think it makes a difference, Fred?
Sure.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like Belichick does, so you know more than him.
Right. I think it makes a difference, and that doesn't say that Belichick doesn't.
And he walks out the door.
I think though there's a price to pay for someone like that, you know, someone that another team has to game plan around, and you know, does it make that much of a difference that you're willing to sacrifice in other areas? And so,
plus, we get into the old question: is how confident are you in Tom Brady to get him the ball
well,
in that position?
That's the other half of it. I don't think there should be any doubt there.
But all things considered, and off-field issues aside, if they could somehow get a talent of a DeSean Jackson or a Mike Wallace, that if they could get that sort of talent on the outside, you guys would be booking your reservations for Glendale.
Well, it would definitely help. But again, okay, so here's two people that are, reportedly available. Okay, you have to make a deal to get them. But, just because they're available doesn't mean you should get them, because you have to weigh all the junk that goes with these guys. DeSean Jackson's a pain in the butt, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why, after 1 year and him being one of the prime free agent pickups for the team, that they want to get rid of him. It's not because of the money, right?
You're talking about
Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace now.
It's not, the Dolphins, they just got this guy, and now they want to get rid of him. So there's got to be something more to that than just freeing up cap space. Mm. And I don't think that has anything to do with it.
And I wouldn't be booking my reservation if they had gotten either of those
guys. I'm booking it anyway. So
I know you are, but I'm saying if they had gotten a really high-level wide receiver, right, like the two guys I mentioned, in addition to what they currently have.
And neither of those guys are in the true mold of the number one outside big-body
total package. There's not a lot of those guys available.
No. That's why they are truly elite.
Right.
Which might be why, reportedly, Belichick and six members of the staff worked out Kelvin Benjamin at FSU.
But even he's not in that class of a speedy outside
big.
He's big. He's a big red zone target, very productive.
Yeah.
But he's not anywhere near that Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss class.
That is such elite, elite athlete you're talking about. A guy like a Randy Moss or Calvin Johnson that's 6'4" and that can have that kind of speed and athleticism, body control, hands, the whole thing. I mean,
it's a little more common than what Pete said about the DBs that are big and fast and all but not a ton more common.
Yeah, because it just seems if you got the size, they don't have the hands. If they have the hands, they don't have the speed.
Right.
To have that total package is really
– it's why they go in the top three picks, and it's why they sign $60 to $100 million contracts. And
yeah. All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. I don't mean to rush you off, but the food's here. We need to take a break. A lot more calls coming up, a lot more emails. It's just the off-season rolls on.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive.
touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I've heard everybody knows her for.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about 4 at the discos. I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller coaster of love.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Mike from New York brings up a good point. He says, can we discuss the real problem with Brady moving to Boston full-time? All those first and second-year receivers who leased apartments in California to work out with him in the offseason, let's hope Dobson can break that lease. Yeah. So
very good point.
Yeah. Good point. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We're talking everything Vince Wilfork. We're talking the fire yesterday, the tragic fire close to Brady's apartment. We're talking secondary woes for the Patriots in the report that they might move Logan Ryan or try him out at safety.
We can also talk about something we haven't brought up yet, though, Freddie, the four rules that the Patriots submitted to the league. One of them was accepted.
Yep, the goalposts.
Goalposts. We all thought that was going to pass, and it did. Two of them were tabled officially, although one of them, it looks like they've worked out a little bit of an agreement for the extra point.
Yep.
They've negotiated doing an experiment for the first two preseason games. They'll kick from the 20-yard line as the line of scrimmage. So it'll be a 38-yard extra point attempt.
Yep.
Just for the first, at least for now. They're gonna bring up the issue again at the May meetings in Atlanta. And they also tabled the cameras in the end zone,
yeah.
End line area until May.
Yeah.
They flat out rejected Bill's request for being able to challenge any play that a coach wants.
Yeah.
And I thought that should at the very least have been tabled for discussion a little bit more. It seems like they just said, nope, that's it. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little strange.
Yeah.
I did too. And I don't know why.
Well, I think they should accept all four of them out of hand.
Yes, I know you think.
We know what you. Yes.
But and I think Bill's kind of a baby, like I would be. And see, that's why I don't propose rules, and I'm not going to propose.
So you don't
again.
Think he's ever going to bring that up again?
I think he might not. That's what I would do.
Well, there's no reason to. I mean, now it's out there.
You didn't even want to talk about it, so why should I bring it back again?
He doesn't have to propose it again, but now it's out there, and you know.
Why wasn't it tabled? Give me one good reason why that shouldn't have been.
I don't know.
Should have been. That should
well,
have
Well,
how do you table something?
Well, that's the thing. Maybe, you know, tabling.
You just say we're not going to vote on it now.
Well, who makes that decision though? Like, is it a certain way you vote? If it's 50-50, we vote like.
And why?
It might be.
My question would be why.
Well, that's the thing. You know, tabling in their parlance might mean, you know, we're going to eventually vote on this, but we just need to do a little bit more research. But the fact that they didn't table it doesn't mean that we can never look at this again. You know,
but it means you have to submit it again next year. You can't talk about it again in May.
That's correct.
You have to wait a full year.
I'll bet you a lunch he doesn't.
It's not going to happen this year for sure.
Right. I'll bet you a lunch he will not propose it next year.
No, he won't. But I'll bet you somebody else might do something, you know, either that or some offshoot of that. Because it makes too much sense.
Well, but what if he gets these other two that are tabled? What if he gets them approved? Now, that's 3 out of 4. So maybe next year he comes back and says, oh, I got 75% of them last year. Let me try for this again.
Yeah.
I think he takes his ball and goes home.
He might. He very well might. I don't put that past him at all.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any nuance that you have to do to that proposal to make it more palatable.
Which is why I don't.
You
said maybe they can tweak it.
Yeah.
What's to tweak?
It's everything. Right. That's what I think.
His whole point is he doesn't want it tweaked.
Exactly.
There's 4 pages of
He's
things
simplifying.
Tweaked.
Right. Make
I don't want to tweak.
Right.
Do the whole damn thing.
Yeah. So. All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's see. Orlando's on the line. Orlando, what's going on?
From Orlando.
Hey, fellas, how you guys doing?
Good.
Very great. Hey, listen, man, I just want to say that I am, like, first of all, I can't remember. It's been a while since I've been this excited over some of the offseason moves that we've made. You know, getting Brownie, getting obviously getting Revis.
It's been 7 years, you can be honest.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while, man. But I do have to say, one move that actually got me excited had nothing to do with the Patriots technically is going to the Jets. I cannot tell you how excited I am for that move because I want to see Chandler Jones come off the edge and break that bastard into 1,000 pieces, man. I will stand up and clap like they did with Irvin when he busted his neck in Philly and ended his career. I will clap if he comes out there and his leg is pointing in 3 different directions.
Wow.
The only flaw with that is we had the chance last preseason, and Chandler Jones got torched by Mike Vick.
But the funny thing is Orlando and Fred will be cheering
right
when Vick gets
No, but I don't have this, you know, this animosity toward Michael Vick. I
no,
really
just
don't.
That anybody that's wearing another uniform gets hurt. You
well,
think that's great.
Not, okay.
Well, I think from a Patriots perspective, you should be happy the Jets got him. I think it just set that franchise back. Continue. Like, what does Geno Smith think? And I know he's handled it well, but I think it's adversely affecting their progression as a franchise.
Yeah.
Would you expect – I would feel better about this move if I were a fan of the Jets if there was a better track record. Because I think it – on paper, I think it could work. I think it's not a bad move. I'm with Andy. I think it's going to be a disaster because I don't think they'll handle it right.
Yeah.
And I think that there'll be constant bickering, you know, in the locker room. Vic should be playing over this kid. This kid's not ready. The Vic gives us a better chance to win now. Whereas a stronger, and this is where I think Rex Ryan fails. You always say that I always take Rex Ryan's side. One of the things I think he fails at is being in control of his offense.
Yeah.
He is a defensive guy, and the offensive guys seem to run amok. And I think that's where his problems tend to fall.
Yeah, see,
he won't squish that.
I know.
He won't squish.
See,
he won't.
If I was the Jets, I don't think it's a bad move either. If I was the Jets, I would make it an open competition, assume without saying it that Vic is going to beat him out, and let Vic start the season. Let Vic start the season. And let Geno learn.
See, I think I would go the other way.
And
I would have instant offense off the bench.
Because every bad play that Geno makes, they're going to be calling for Vic. I think right now Michael Vick is the better quarterback, so let him start.
I think he is the better quarterback right now,
yeah.
But I think that you're stunting his growth by not letting him play.
I think you're helping him by letting him learn a little. I think stunting his growth is what they did last year.
He played a whole year.
And he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready.
But now you're demoting.
Now you're demoting.
But that's okay.
It's worse.
You're still going to be our quarterback. Michael Vick is not here for the long term, Geno. You know,
easier said than done.
We did wrong by you last year by throwing you in there.
That's why. I don't think they did wrong by
him. I think they did.
What was their alternative?
Well, whatever it, they were wrong to throw him right in there.
But what would you have done?
I'm not saying that they had any option, but
I don't think they were wrong.
They were not helping.
Plenty of rookie quarterbacks starting their first game, and
their
starting quarterback got hurt.
He wasn't ready.
He played because the starter got hurt.
I understand, but he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready.
No one's ready, Fred.
You know, so
before you play, you're not ready.
So this gives him an opportunity to learn a little bit behind a similar guy.
He did that,
you know. So I don't
it's think not a similar
it,
guy.
It doesn't have to be a terrible move by the Jets. It could be a good move.
Am I wrong on that? I don't think two quarterbacks could be much different.
It'll be a good move. Hopefully he'll die out there.
Wow. All right, Orlando. We're not wishing for death here. It was funny because Tuesday, you know, Rex in his blustery way said, you know, no one's talking about the Jets, but they will be. And then on Wednesday, Itzik came out and said,
we're not in making
predictions. So there is that friction there between the GM and the coach. The GM is probably hoping he fails because he wants to get rid of him. You know?
You might be right.
So, but, yeah, all right. Enough of the Jets talk. Let's go to Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, Fred, let's have that beer at an Irish pub in Boston next year, not here in Denver, eh?
Okay, sounds good.
All righty. That sounds wonderful. Hey, that was a couple of great moves. I'm kind of curious. I'd like to get your guys' take on it, if I may. Jared Allen didn't seem to come at a huge cost, did he?
Medium.
$15.5 million guaranteed.
Yeah, for 2 years.
So more money than say Revis that you're banking on.
Okay, well, where do you guys feel the pressure is going to come from?
This, more money.
I'm sorry.
Where's the pressure going to come from this year now?
Well, right now it looks like Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich. Maybe a Michael Buchanan and whatever mixed in.
D Ford.
But can Armstead help that out a lot? In your opinion?
No idea.
I'm with
theoretically sure, but I'd first like to see him in uniform and on the field.
I've said it before, and I say it again. He's not on my radar for 2014.
But he should be.
No.
Who's not on your radar?
Armand Armstead.
He was one of your
top three defensive tackles last year, and he's
back. Oh, yeah, really? Was he?
That's what Bill said.
He did.
That is what happened. That's what Bill
said. Because I just love when you pick and choose when Bill knows what he's talking about.
But also, I've thought about this a little bit.
He knows what he's talking about. I just said that's what he said.
Don't you think, like, I know some people want to leap to that this could have somehow been heart-related, that the infection was some... There's no way in hell that's true, because if so, his career's over.
Yeah,
he would
I don't
not
think
be
that
here.
That's true.
He would be done. Totally done.
My guess is he had some sort of staph infection.
Well, I have no other guess, but I would bet my life that it's not related to the heart. Don't know anything else beyond that, but I would bet my life it's not any way related to the previous issues he's had with the heart.
In ways that only PFW in Progress can, with absolutely no information, I agree
but
with
we're
Andy.
Always right. We said Wilfork sucked last year
wrong.
Long before anybody else did. We said the Patriots would go get Revis long before anybody else did.
I said Mankins was going to go, and he didn't.
You say everything.
I was wrong.
Eventually you're going to be
right. No, we don't say everything, actually.
Like when people said Deshaun Jackson and the Patriots, we said no chance.
What you just said was not fair.
We need to be humble.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. Humble. No one else is humble.
Fumble.
What else you got, Noah?
Well, one more thing. Props to all the firemen and around the country, guys, and but condolences to the fire families there in the Boston area. And one other thing, and I'll listen to your answer. Is this upcoming draft, is there a pass rusher out there that you feel we should go after?
Paul wants D Ford.
I like D Ford.
I like D Ford, too. I'm not sure I feel we should go after him.
You feel you don't have anybody that you feel the same way you did as Robert Quinn?
Well, Clowney.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Well, you ask me anybody.
Okay.
If people are allowed, I mean, everybody's talking about receivers now. They worked out Benjamin. They were tied to Watkins. They've done this. So, like, people are, if they're going to be able to mention top receivers, then I can mention Clowney. It's not impossible. I don't know if you know, Bill O'Brien worked here, so we could trade Mallett for the number one pick.
There you go.
Saw him down in O-Town.
Hey, thanks, Billy? Guys.
All right, thanks, Noah.
Bill O'Brien.
Andy's just joking, just in case we get a flood of emails agreeing with him.
No, I know Paul says they're stupid, but they're not that stupid.
I don't know why he has to be so harsh to me. Right.
But no, other than Clowney, there is no pass rusher I'm madly in love with, and oh, God, let's trade up and get him.
No, I'm thinking in terms of
that guy this year for me, Fred,
round.
Is Buchanan, the safety. Deion Buchanan. I'm all in on him. He's D1. The fit. Second round, he is the safety. None of this, let's get a guy from San Diego who may or may not be good. Let's not move a corner to safety. Let's get a real safety. His name's Buchanan.
Dan writes in, it's very hard to look at the Vince situation without looking two-faced. He was a great player and a stand-up guy who deserves to look for the best deal. The only way the Pats can show loyalty to the player and do what's best for the team is to give him his release. And if the market is what they believe it to be, maybe they get him back later. On Logan Ryan at safety, I believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. The only reason this is a possibility is because they cheaped out when quality free agent safeties were available in favor of Jags and guys way past their prime and drafted a special teamer in the second round. Finally, a suggestion for Paul. You might avoid arbitrary arguments and add a few years to your life if you just respond to everything Fred says with, I think the Pats stink and Bledsoe was better than Brady.
I agree.
So isn't that what he says anyway?
I agree.
The Ward, the T.J. Ward one, is the interesting one that gets lost in sort of this arms race and the Patriots and the Broncos and Ware and Revis and all that.
They got themselves a good safety.
I don't know whether he's good or not, but a safety that a lot of Patriots fans wanted, a physical safety that they targeted, that the Browns, by the way, didn't want, they got for $23 million. Like, you know, we were talking, you can't invest $30 or $40 million because that's what you're going to invest in McCourty. Well, it didn't take that to get T.J. Ward. So if you had any interest, you could have gone and gotten T.J. Ward.
What move would you
have interest?
What move would you?
I know what you're talking about.
He's the guy that hurt Gronkowski, right?
Yes.
Okay, we don't want him.
Okay, what move would you have rather made? Ward or Browner? If you could only have made one.
Browner.
Wow.
Yeah, because of the position.
Yep. Jesus.
I don't know.
I would have taken Ward in a heartbeat.
I don't really know enough about Ward. I don't feel like I've seen him play.
None of the deals that the Broncos did were good. they overpaid for everybody.
And they're in an arms race in which they started the race ahead of you.
They're getting bad bombs. We're getting good ones.
Bad bombs?
Yeah, it's an arms race.
Oh.
Jeez.
Well, if it's an your boy, by the way, good stuff, Obama.
Oh yeah,
good stuff.
Making
calling
fun of Putin,
regional power, and these little.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
It was very polished. It was very snarky,
and maybe that's why I liked it. But yeah. I was a big fan.
Thank you, Andy.
Big fan.
Toby from
New York. He grew a pair, it seems like.
It was very polished.
Maybe it's because you know he's coming down this home stretch, the second term, and everything, but. He grew a pair, and the first time I really was excited about something he said.
Toby from New York, just wondering, now that Allen signed with the Bears, is there a point of cutting Wilfork? What are we going to do with that extra space? It seems like all the good free agents are gone anyway. I don't want them cut solely based on principle or saving Robert Kraft some money. What's your thoughts? So he's saying you're not going to use the money anyway. You might as well give it to Vince.
How do we know we're not going to use them?
Well, that's the thing.
You know, Sean Phillips is out there.
There's a lot of guys.
No, Sean Marino.
As much as
and here's a guy, Vince, who, you know, you can make the case could get released. There's no guys on other teams like him that could get released.
Mm-hmm. Or simply,
they're always
the
available, Fred.
They're always come available.
Come
guys you didn't think were available become available.
But if I cut Vince, that's $8 million. Boom. Well, maybe that's half the signing bonus I give to Devin McCourty.
Right.
I mean, just because you don't spend it to acquire somebody, your overall long-term team building.
better not be.
Are you not prepared for Devin McCourty to get a 30-plus...
$16 million signing bonus?
I think he's going to get 30-plus million with teens guaranteed.
Am I prepared for it? Probably yes.
Oh,
will
okay.
I be happy with it? Absolutely
not. Well, I wouldn't
not.
Have done it. But they might as well take one contract I wouldn't have signed and give it to another guy who I wouldn't sign. It's what they do.
I tell you what, though, I would feel a little bit better if they got a guy like of the guys who are available, like Phillips.
Just to have
a third person that
like
I could rely on. In
I don't.
The
I think he's a guy that gets 10 sacks.
But they need a third guy.
But they need a guy.
They need a guy. If Tully Bantakane could get 10 sacks, I would take him. They need a guy to be the third guy.
And I'm not sure Sean Phillips is going to get 10 sacks as the third guy.
He might not.
He's going to get 5. Whoop de ding dong doo.
He might not. A lot of people think that Jared Allen is a product of the incredible amount of snaps that he plays. And that a lot of other guys are more productive. This is a different way to look at it for all these guys.
I know. All the stat geeks think Jared Allen's done. He sucks.
I didn't say that. I wanted Jared Allen. You know that.
I think Jared Allen has been so miscast as done that it's not even funny. Like, everybody's criticizing that. That was a terrible signing.
What?
Oh, yeah. All the stat geeks and all the...
Who's saying it's a bad
sign? All the stat geeks, the pro football focuses.
Finally, I'm not the only one hearing voices in my head.
Over to Paul's channel for just a couple minutes.
No, really? Who's been saying that?
All the stat geeks think he's done, even though the numbers don't. Even though he's still playing 16 games, he's still getting double-digit sacks.
What about the eyeball guy?
He plays every snap.
What about
the eyeball guy? He plays every snap.
That's us, and I think he's not done.
Right. That's who you listen to, the eyeball guy.
To me, yes. I generally listen to myself.
Because you can make statistics go any way you want them to go.
Exactly.
Bo Jackson never had a 1,000-yard season, so he's not good.
Who says that?
Your guy, Kerry Byrne.
Oh.
Cold, hard, idiotic facts.
I didn't know he talked like Fred Smirnoff.
Harley's in North Carolina. Hey, Harley.
Quinn.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good.
I got two questions I want to ask you. First one is, I think I got one of my best friends. He's a big Atlanta fan. He's been telling me they're looking for a big run stuffer. Would you be okay with trading Will Fort for like a second or first round pick?
Oh, hell yeah.
yes. As Fred says, he'd drive him to the airport.
I would absolutely drive him to the airport.
They're not going to get a first or second round pick for him.
You might get a seventh.
And who's going to trade for an $8 million salary?
Yeah, that's why I say you might get a seventh.
Yeah.
No one. No one's going to trade for that salary. Now, I guess somebody could technically acquire it and give him a new contract. But even then, you're getting a late round pick for a 32-year-old nose tackle coming off an Achilles. I mean, I know Dimitroff once worked here, so right, maybe we can get a one.
who's snarky now?
I know.
Who's the snark new?
All right, Harley, is that it?
No, he's got another one.
I have one more question.
One more.
A bad question.
I think a big part of our season next year is going to help us get home field advantage is the fact that Denver's going to play in Seattle's division next year.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get a couple losses.
They got that AFC West coming up. I mean, NFC West. Yeah.
That's a cupcake division, according to Paul.
Yep.
They'll lose a game. They'll lose a game.
We'll get that seed.
You need to.
All right, Harley. Thanks for calling.
Did he say what division we have? We have the North, right?
Yes.
We have the North.
Packers, Lions,
Vikings. So we'll see Jared Allen.
We will have the eyeball test.
I don't know. The AFC part of the schedule is probably harder for Denver, too, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen their schedule.
I mean, just guessing the West is better than the East, so right off the go. They have a tougher
East
six games.
Versus West.
Yeah. It's man against man. Brian's in Ontario. He wants to talk about
NFC
Jared Allen. Hey, Brian.
Hi, guys. Actually, I thought I was going to be, maybe because I caught the trade on ESPN, I thought I was going to be telling you guys something you hadn't quite heard. But you guys probably have the laptops right in front of you telling everything that's going on, right? So.
I don't know what you're talking about. Surprise not. We don't have computers.
What trade
just
happened?
Fred, and he doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah.
What trade happened?
The trade where Jared Allen going to the... Bears.
Oh, yeah.
He was a free agent.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to say trade. But you know what? I'm still thinking about the offense. I was talking to you guys yesterday and sort of, you guys were at the end of the show and so
I
didn't stay on. But the really, the deep threat thing is still not there. Like, really, I mean, what's his name, LaFell? You're talking about him being more of a, he can block, he can do that, the drops is not a good thing. But, is he really a deep threat for us?
No. Your deep threats are boys first and foremost, and then both Tompkins and Dobson have that in their game, I think. But
I would say Boyce is your biggest weapon down the field.
Right.
And he's little.
Really got very few snaps last year.
Correct. And by all accounts, that seemed to not necessarily just be, there were the injuries later, but for some reason he wasn't in the mix, and I generally make the leap that it's because he didn't really know the offense and wasn't prepared to play.
And it seemed like when Tompkins or when Dobson were doing anything downfield, that seemed to be when they were getting hurt.
I mean, Dobson certainly re-injured that foot on a deep ball. I don't know that
But he didn't injure it originally on a deep ball. It was on like a crossing pattern against Denver.
Yeah, well, it just seems like
yeah, I wouldn't make
it just doesn't work. Seem like any teams would give us at this point that much respect as far as anyone going deep.
No, but I mean, we didn't have it last year. You're going to be similar to what you had last year.
It all comes down to me. Offensively, we could talk about all these other things that'd be nice to have, but it's Gronkowski. If Gronkowski is part of the equation, your offense will be fine. If not, you're going to struggle.
Jonathan in Hong Kong writes in, saw the report on Patriots.com that our starting...
Is this Jonathan Wong?
Yeah.
Wong in Kong.
Right. Just saw a report that our starting safeties would be Devin McCourty and Logan Ryan. I really don't see this happening. While I think Ryan would fit at free safety with his ball hawking skills at 195 pounds, I don't think McCourty would have the physicality to play in the box at strong safety.
Nope.
We sure don't want McCourty to be the next Gregory. I think it would be unwise for the Patriots not to take a big safety in the draft. What's your take?
DM Buchanan, all in, second round. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that they need a bigger safety, and I agree with
McCourty has a history of shoulder injuries, so now we're just going to ask him to bang a little more.
And you know something else, too? A lot of people talk about the safety that the element of safety that they're missing is a physical presence.
Sure.
I think people confuse that with good tackler, because I agree. Devin McCourty, I think, is a very good tackler. Mm-hmm. He's not physical. He's a good tackler. That's not the same thing. And I feel like they need, like Rodney always says, and I know Rodney's biased. That's the way he played, and he feels they're missing a guy like him, presence that he provided.
The other problem with McCourty, okay, he's going to be more in the box, near the line of scrimmage, all that crap, is we've given him the credit for solidifying the back end and not giving up 20-yard plays as fast as they were,
right,
and being the communicator, which is generally the guy who can see the whole field, not squished into the box.
Right.
So now we're losing two of the bigger strengths of Devin McCourty and trusting Logan Ryan to have those two strengths.
Yeah.
Now, Bill gave him praise last year. I also don't know when he became like Ed Reed ball-hawking safety.
Well,
like,
Devin, you mean?
No, Logan Ryan.
Logan Ryan.
He's a ball hawk, and we get his ball hawking skill back there.
I don't get the Logan Ryan infatuation. I think he had a nice, solid rookie year.
That's all it takes around here, though. But I don't think we're starved.
I think that he was better than Daron Harmon, but I thought Daron Harmon, for the most part, had a nice, solid rookie
year.
And
Bill praised him, too, which I don't understand why we got to replace him already.
Exactly. Like, people look at Logan Ryan like this ball hawk guy, and Daron Harmon, we're already not comfortable with ascending to the starting job. I didn't see that much of a difference between those two players.
And by the way, a couple weeks ago, people were trying to sell me on Logan Ryan was like the future at corner before we had Revis and Browner. He was an ascending talent at cornerback. Well, now he's not ascending anymore. By the way,
for those 12 hours that we lost to Lieb and hadn't done anything yet, Logan Ryan was the answer.
And by the way, Revis could be gone next year, and Browner could be gone at any time.
Yeah.
And so don't we, if he's really an ascending talent
I'm
at
looking
corner,
at both of those guys as one-year players. I don't know how anybody else
Well, so therefore, don't we want our ascending corner talent, Logan Ryan, to be still ascending at corner, not just moving to safety?
Look, it's all speculation, but I think, you know, and we go out there for the, you know, the mini camps and stuff, and it's, you know, they're not in pads. They weren't running around. But the one thing that we do see is early on how guys in different positions. So we'll see if they really do want to start trying out Logan Ryan at safety. We could see it as early as May.
You guys might see it. I'm sure they won't have their uniforms on it. I'll have no idea.
Yeah. Right.
No numbers.
Is that Ryan?
But that's when they
Andy.
Who's that Harmon?
That's when they tend to, you know, start putting these guys in a different position. Just to get them a little bit acclimated.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because that is when you first find out, you see personnel groups, and you can sort of get an idea of a pecking order, you know, if nothing else. But again, it is, in all seriousness, it's kind of hard to do that, because when you pick out one or two, and you're like, oh, okay, that's so-and-so, but now you got to try to figure out who eight of those guys are to see who's
like
playing
Revis
with each
will
other.
Know, Browner will know, and then, I
don't know. Right. Alex from Philly, the No Fun League strikes again. With more legislation on celebration and emphasis on taunting, Now the players can't dunk the goalpost anymore. Seriously, is that improving the quality of the game? Has goalpost dunking been linked to concussions and CTE? I'm sure that's the way they will spin it because player safety seems to be the big buzzword these days. I'm starting to get sick of the petty NFL micromanaging anything that doesn't help teams score more points. Moving on, it's official now that we won't see Jared Allen in a Patriots uniform. My question is, could we have afforded to give Allen what he got from the Bears?
Yes.
And if we could, would you have?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes and yes.
For you too?
They would have had to make some moves.
Yeah, I would have done it.
Yeah, they would have had to make moves, but yeah, absolutely.
But they had the ability.
I'm not, believe it or not, because? Like I think that Jared Allen is better than John Abraham. I'm actually more upset that they whiffed on Abraham last year because that was so doable.
And peanuts.
Yeah. You know,
far less money.
This one, Caps you have to make some moves to get him, and you know they might have some other things.
Could have made one move, cut Wilfork.
Yeah, they could.
Boom, Wilfork gone, yeah. Allen in.
You yeah. know, but so I'm not beside myself that they lost out on Jared Allen.
No, but it would have been a nice piece.
They could have done it,
especially if you want to do this thing where you really, you know, sort of trying to make a transition to be a little bit more defense oriented.
Right.
I think you need to augment that front with someone who can get after the passer.
Lunch today was brought to us by Olivier in Virginia. Thank you very much, Olivier.
Outstanding.
Gracias, muy bien.
Much appreciated here.
Yes.
Si, si.
We do this show during our lunch. We need our fuel.
Si.
You know, otherwise,
tengo muy hambre.
That last hour becomes pretty tough.
Boorish.
Let's go to Virginia where Dan's on the line. Hey, Dan.
Good night, fellas.
Good night, mate.
Yeah, have you ever met Olivier?
No, I keep my. There was an old guy in the supermarket today wearing a Pats.
No, that's not Olivier.
It was a French accent, so yeah. it wasn't Olivier.
No. And you said good day, mate.
Actually, I said how was the Rebus deal.
Yeah, bonjour, mate.
I had a big smile. But, actually, speaking of a good day, mate, I actually wanted to say thanks. There was a caller a couple of weeks ago who called in telling me about an Aussie website where I could buy Aussie stuff from in the US. So I just wanted to thank him. I didn't give him a shout out, so thanks to him.
Osborne.
I don't know who he was, but
Ozzy Osbourne
called in.
No, Aussie.
What's that?
Black Sabbath.
No, he's being ridiculous, Dan. Please continue.
Anyhow,
now what? So, what are you ordering from that site? What kind of Aussie stuff?
Maybe some Vegemite or
English
Vegemite sandwich. Vegemite.
What's a Vegemite?
It's from the song.
It's like a yeast extract. It's a you're going to laugh. It's a byproduct of the beer making process, and so we. Stick
I'd
it
laugh
on
if I knew what you said. What a beer making process. Or yeah, beer?
Beer.
Oh,
beer.
Like VB?
Yes.
Oh, but it. So you're buying yeast?
It's a yeast it's a yeast extract.
It's not an infection, right?
No, I'm not eating that. What about the yeast infection on a sandwich?
It's just tiring.
I haven't put yeast on a sandwich ever in my life. Like, infected or not.
Fred looked at me as if with the most exasperated look I've ever seen.
All right, go ahead.
Anyhow, I was actually calling up to discuss defensive tackles, but just quickly on the Logan Ryan thing, I like him, but the position they need is a strong safety, and the only way Logan Ryan's going to make it as a strong safety is if they send him out there with a baseball bat.
Oh, See, I sort of agree with that. I could be persuaded that he could be a free safety someday, but I think him and McCourty sort of do the same things, have
correct.
The same, yeah. same skills.
Deion Buchanan.
But anyhow, on defensive tackles, Wilfork and Allen, I just want to get you to, we haven't really seen much on the figures for Wilfork's contract. The only ones I've seen are from CSNME, who said it was for the same value as what he was going to be getting anyway, but it was going to be based on playing time, and then there was going to be an extension on top of that. So I was wondering if you could verify that. And then my other question is, has Jared Allen been drinking too much beer at in his hunting shack? Because part of the reason, apparently, that he went to Chicago was that he views him as a contender and that he has faith in Captain Sourface as a quarterback. And that just strikes me as just...
They're probably drinking buddies.
Unreasonable.
Yeah.
They both like to drink, so they're probably drinking buddies, and they've convinced each other, you know, in a lather that they can win the Super Bowl
in a lather, yeah. Yeah,
I cannot confirm
Thanks,
any of
I
those
figures.
I cannot
confirm the Wilfork stuff.
What if the Patriots offer is money equal, but it's based on playing time because of the fear of the injury? Is that something that if you're Wilfork, you're upset about or should be upset about?
I am.
You still are.
Yeah, because you're it's money that I'm supposed to already get that you're making me do something extra to get.
Play? Right?
Extra. You're making me – there's an extra hurdle you're making me jump over, and I'm a large man.
They're making him change his contract, right. And you're sticking with the – you made me play it out the first time I want to play it out now.
If that's what's angering me, then you're still adding something.
Yeah, to you're, do. If that's
right.
the case. Yeah.
Right, and we don't know that it is. Yeah. It may or may not be. And I, again, no problem on the Patriots side either, because they should. They should be protecting themselves for all the reasons we've talked about. But if I'm Vince, that doesn't necessarily not make me angry. That can still annoy me, that extra.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if that's what, because, again, maybe he's just being emotional. But after listening to the 60 Minutes interview, you would think that they'd be prepared for something like that. And it's like, look, Vince, you're going to make money. You're going to make the same amount of money, assuming you play.
But see, what I am assuming, and I think I said this on Tuesday, is they're willing to do something where, yes, you will get that $7.5 million. We're going to divvy it out. We'll give you a 2-year extension. But the salary, the new money in the 2-year extensions, I'm guessing is kind of low. And he's saying no. Because if I play this out and hit the open market, I can make much more than that. That is my guess, that they're the 2 years of new money, quote unquote, I think they're probably lower than what Vince wants. I find it hard to believe the Patriots are trying to make him flat out not get the $7.5 million. I think it's probably beyond that. He's saying, no, the $7.5 million I already include as my money. It's in my bank account. And you're only going to pay me $1 million a year for the next 2 years after that or something low. That's kind of how I'm assuming this might be hindered.
Okay.
So the Aussies put yeast on sandwiches, huh?
Oh, bread has yeast in it. You just
remember that song from I think it was like early 80s,
Men at Work.
Men at Work.
Mm-hmm.
Down Under.
Yeah.
Vegemite sandwich. He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich.
I met a man from Brussels.
That's the only reason why.
But Fred, using your logic.
It was probably like you. We like to pick things up and put them down.
Yeah.
Using your logic, Fred, you're having a bread sandwich. Well, there's yeast in bread. Okay, so why do I need to put yeast in my bread sandwich? Now I'm having 3 slices of bread. That sounds terrible. Right?
Luke Malone is on
a roll.
Nah,
I know. He's on a roll.
And it comes from beer?
Get it? He's on a roll.
So you're putting beer on it?
Well, beer has yeast in it.
No, I know.
Yeah.
So, but he said it's from the beer-making process, this yeast. So it's some sort of beer-flavored yeast you're putting on your bread that's made with yeast?
They extract the yeast from the beer.
Do you have a beer with your beer-flavored yeast sandwich?
Everything should be beer-flavored.
No, it shouldn't.
Everything?
Beer is the new bacon.
Come on.
There's probably an argument that that could happen.
Yeah.
There's the new thing. Have you seen these from Darren Revelle, the frozen head?
What?
Of beer.
Oh.
Oh, yeah?
Like
what do they do with
that? They freeze the foam on because it keeps the beer colder somehow. So, like, they pour the beer, but then they freeze the head so that
they use that as ice?
Sort of keeps the cold in. A lot of major league parks are going to it. It's wow. Some technology some company has come up with.
Okay. Looking up a...
So now it'll be $10 cups of beer instead of $8 cups of beer.
Probably.
Yeah. Vegemite is a dark brown Australian food paste made from leftover brewer's yeast extract with various vegetable and there's...
That sounds awful. Loading.
Vegemite.
Yeah, yes. Where the veg comes from. Yeah. Vegetables.
Not Vegemite.
Yeah. mean,
that's how you cure the yeast infection is with the Vegemite.
God help us.
Brett from Niagara... Niagara Falls, Ontario. Now that Jared Allen has signed with the Bears, is defensive end the position we should target in the first round? I personally feel like it should be because I think that a pass rusher is the Patriots' biggest need. Anyway, I hope you guys have a nice day. And P.S., if you have the time, can you email me some information on Patriots training camp? Only if you have the time, of course. My family wants to go, and I'd like to get some information. So,
have you heard of the World Wide Web?
Yeah, we don't have the dates for training camp, but you can bet the last weekend of July is when it starts.
I would go last Thursday in July and for a few weeks after that. Come on down. There's hot dogs. There's grass to sit on. There's Paul be signing autographs in the media tent. It's quite a take.
And the schedule comes out mid-April as usual.
Within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I'm going to get a T-shirt for Eric to wear that says it comes out the same time as it did last year. That's it. That's all it's going to say. Let's see. Steve in Killeen,
vegetables
Texas.
And spice were the other ingredients. That
and you put this on a sandwich.
It's a spread, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm putting yeast on top of yeast with
it's
some bologna
it's not
or something.
Yeast. It's, I mean, it's for.
No, it's they made it gross with vegetables.
Toast, not just sandwiches, but you can put it on toast. Or,
why would I want to? What does it taste like?
Why are you so mad?
I mean, why would you want to? You
I'm
put
sorry.
Peanut butter on toast. You put
vegetable?
Butter on toast. You put jelly on toast.
Could be like a
Vegemite.
And those
bread.
Are all sweet and sound yummy. This
so
sounds
mad?
Like vegetables mixed with the leftover crap
well,
from making beer.
Is it hummus like a vegetable?
It's yeah, like ground up.
It's a spread.
Chickpeas.
Yeah. But you can add vegetable stuff.
Thing.
I don't use hummus as a spread. Do a lot of people do
you
that?
Can.
I
yeah.
dip
people
things
use
in it.
It as a dip.
I use it as a dip.
Yeah.
This sounds like a dip. It doesn't sound like a spread.
Well, whichever. It's the same thing.
And it doesn't sound like it tastes good. The leftover beer making
it sounds
process.
Sounds like a dip, not a spread.
Yeah.
The anger.
I know. The action of the bread knife as opposed to the chip changes the whole thing.
No, but I can't believe that you did not like Seinfeld. But I just can't believe it.
No,
you live the life.
You're telling me you would
like
spread French onion dip on your sandwich?
You know, I never thought about it, but maybe.
Oh, God.
It might taste good.
And you're also getting fatter by the second. I know what's better than mayo. I'll put French onion dip on
it. So
there.
If I have it with a Dorito, that makes a big difference. Yeah,
no, you shed pounds when you
right,
do it.
Right.
Nacho cheese, they're
right,
not fattening.
Right. Oh. Yay.
Now, if you try the Cool Ranch, now you're just getting fat.
Right. Steven, am I getting fatter by the second?
No, actually, no.
Okay.
Your shoulders a little bit.
How long were you here? Skinnier when I came home from vacation.
Quit sucking up.
No, I'm serious. You walked into Matt's office and I was gonna ask him if
review
he
time,
weight.
Huh? Is he looking? He
doesn't review. Him.
He's angling for something.
I already had my review.
You don't look fatter, but you also don't look noticeably thinner.
Got to get mine in quick tomorrow so I can get out.
On the clock here, I gotta go.
I'll come in at 7. He'll be waiting by my door.
First day ever. Paul's been here early.
Hey, I've been in by 9 this week.
Yeah, he
the last 2 days.
Why?
Just no traffic.
Yeah,
I leave the same time every day. Some days I get here. Well, unless I have to drop the kids off.
Been noticing traffic lately has been
traffic
very
has been
thin.
Very
both,
light.
Both
lately,
both
ways.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I don't either.
I think the Callahan Tunnel is finally back open in Boston. That might be helping me, but that wouldn't have any effect on you guys.
Let's see. Steve at Killeen, Texas.
I like stories.
What's that?
I like stories.
You know what people in Australia really care about?
The Callahan
commuting
Tunnel.
In the greater Boston area on a daily basis.
Sincere condolences to the friends and families of the heroic firefighters who lost their lives. The explosion in the plant in West Texas where 12 firefighters were lost is still fresh in my mind.
Yes.
Now back to football. If Big Vince is not with us this coming season, what are your thoughts on Louis Nix III as his replacement?
Intriguing. I'm not all that interested in taking him.
I wouldn't want him in the first
but
round.
That's my point. Talent-wise, he's a good player.
He's a good player. Very good
I am not willing to invest high enough to get him.
That's how I feel. I'd rather have like a third or fourth round guy. Yeah.
Give me some tree
tackle.
Stump that played somewhere and is decent. Whatever.
Nix is a good player. The email is right.
JT writes in, Joe from Boston, actually, thought this was interesting.
Doesn't know SP, though, who was Sean from New Hampshire.
Thought this was interesting. Brady's top 5 receivers all in the bottom 30 when it comes to drop rate, according to Pro Football Focus. Edelman, Tompkins, Amendola, LaFell, and Dobson he's talking about. All in the bottom 30.
So that means they drop a lot or a little?
Drop a lot, I guess. Edelman was 60.
According to the email.
Edelman was 66. Tompkins 67th, Amendola 78th, LaFell 84, and Dobson 90. I don't know what that means though.
I don't know exactly what all the numbers meant either.
90th worse?
Well, that's what I meant.
If
you're number one, it means you have the fewest drops.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Number 100, you have the most drops.
Yes.
Okay. Right. That's not good.
No.
They're not even that good. That'd be part of my problem. If I throw to Calvin Johnson and he drops it, okay, well, the next time he's going to go 40 yards. But if I throw to Julian Edelman and he only goes 10 on the good plays and he drops it on the bad plays, what are we doing here?
Yeah, a guy that we don't like, Andy and I don't really like him a lot, but Dwayne Bowe drops passes, but he makes a lot of plays,
right.
Too.
The Otis Smith of wide receivers.
Otis Smith made a lot of plays for the other team. At least
he was a playmaker.
At least when Bowe drops the ball, it's generally just a drop.
Right.
Let's see, Adam from Dublin.
You ever think like old players just like, you know, they're screwing around on the web. No, but like they're screwing around on Patriots.com, whatever, and they, oh, what's this show? And they click on it, and it's 2014, and we're ripping Otis Smith. Like, hey.
And he looks at me and goes, I told Perillo I'm not retired.
Yeah. On that Boston Fire movie.
Oh, yeah.
You guys were right. It was blown away with Jeff Bridges and
Tommy Lee Jones.
That's it was about bombs.
That's exactly the movie I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
So that's the one I was thinking of.
By the way, no victory. Like, you raised your
hand.
He
raises
like
his hand.
A victory.
I knew there was a...
You listed seven bad movies that weren't in Boston.
Well, Jeff Bridges and Kurt Russell are the same person, so...
He's an idiot.
Just going to go get a Pepsi.
Olivia's
don't make
on
any
the phone. Hey,
movements.
Olivia, thanks for lunch today. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope you had you ordered something that was good.
It was yummy. Now, we're not highfalutin like you, so we just had normal sandwiches and curly fries. I went the extra distance. I got the seasoned curly fries.
You guys should try to order, you know, from different restaurants one day.
No! We're creatures of habit. We know what we like, and we like what we know.
I didn't get to order anything because I brought lunch. I didn't know you were getting today.
Oh, you were back, Eric.
He had, yes. He had a Veggie Mac sandwich.
Would have been nice.
Full of black tea.
It would have been a good spread.
That's funny.
Or would have been a dip.
Right. Just don't want a yeast infection.
No, double dip.
Hey, guys, so I have two comments to make. So the first one is, we could not come up with the money to get Jared Allen, or do you think that he didn't want to come to play with us?
I don't think we were in the mix on any of these guys.
I don't think we ever inquired.
Ware, okay. Allen, Peppers. I just don't think we were in the mix. Don't know why. Don't get it. But not.
Because we don't. I don't think that they, you know, he asked that much money. I mean, the guaranteed money, do you think it's a lot of money for what he represents? I mean,
nope.
Of course, we. No, it's not, right?
Not exorbitant.
I mean, when you see the amount of money that he's asking, we should have gotten that other guy that went to Arizona last time. Abraham's, right?
Right. It was well, it's. I mean, it's a lot more than what he was asking, and we weren't apparently willing to go there.
The 10-sack guy I think they needed then and probably need now.
That's the guy you should be harping on, not Emmanuel Sanders. You should really go all in on you. You effed up when you didn't get John
Abraham.
I
did say that.
But you were kind of, Emmanuel Sanders is important, too.
Okay. You did
they're both important.
You did base your whole offseason on Emmanuel Sanders.
Whereas
some
maybe you should
reason.
Have based it on Abraham.
Well, they were both close. Sanders, if they had just gone a little bit more, the Steelers wouldn't have.
Then we would have a Jag receiver. Yeah. If we had had Abraham, we would have had a Pro Bowl pass rusher.
Yeah, we got
that. Makes no sense. I wonder why they keep on being so obtuse about not trying to get in the mix with these players.
Well, I think they, you know, look, Paul says he hears whispers that they didn't think Allen was that good. And maybe that's really what they thought, that
he hears voices in
he
his
wasn't
head.
Worth the money. And
just, can I clarify that for a second?
Yeah.
I didn't say that I heard whispers from in here. That's what people are saying now around here, around like the fans.
No, I know, but not that gets out somehow.
Well, no.
No, don't blame these fans like you are well trained.
Don't blame that idiocy on the Patriots.
We would not have heard this had we signed him. These fans are trained like you, Fred. If he comes here, he's great. If he doesn't, we tear him down.
Because that's not fit, that Patriots wouldn't put out such nonsense like that. And I would say, in terms of the three pass rushers, at least definitely with Ware, because he signed right away. Peppers was pretty quick, not immediate, but pretty quick. At least you could sit there and say, well, they had some other irons in the fire. They were working with Revis. They were working with Browner, eventually LaFell. But this one, you had plenty of time to sort of restock, regather, and go after, and they seemingly had no interest in Jared Allen either. So
I don't give them the first excuse either. Somehow the Broncos signed Ward and Tlaib and Ware and
everybody.
We
signed Revis, Browner, and LaFell. I mean, that's all.
We're really going to knock Joe's up against each other?
So since we always...
We signed Jag comparable. Great.
Oh,
I don't.
So since we're always in the mode of trying to get value...
And I'm the hater.
No, Paul, you're right. Andy's being, you know, fanboy.
Obtuse.
Here. Yeah.
I like that word, obtuse. That's a good one to use.
That's a Bob Ryan word. He uses it all the time.
And then the last comment I was going to make, then I'll let you go. I saw the interview of Belichick in the, I guess, the coach breakfast a couple of days ago. And, you know, a lot of people criticize him for being moody or for being...
Obtuse.
Not yes. necessarily obtuse. I think, you know, when you're part of the media, and I think what he expects is people to ask him intelligent questions and questions that are relevant. Of course, you know, he chooses whether or not he wants to respond and how condescending sometimes he is with his responses. But, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, the Patriots are worth $1.7 billion or something like that. So it's kind of a Fortune 500 company. And you're sitting at a breakfast with basically the CEO of that company. He's responsible for, you know, personnel. He's responsible for strategy, putting a good product out there and so forth. And then you've got people that don't necessarily sometimes ask him questions that are relevant. It's like being on a analyst conference call after the end of the quarter, and you ask, you know, weird or sometimes stupid questions to a CEO, you're going to have the same answers as well. So, Eric, you were there because I saw that you mm-hmm. were next to him and so forth. Don't you? I mean, Mike Reese always asks, it seems, intelligent questions to him, and it seems that when the mood is not going well around the table, Mike asks question about it. You know, Amanda is
right.
my daughter, and I think it smooths things back, and the conversation started to pick up again. But Eric, you were there. Don't you think there are certain guys that probably get on his nerve by asking questions?
No, it's a good analogy of the CEO. That's what he is.
It is a good analogy, but I think what Bill needs to understand is that if a reporter asks a very reasonable question like, how is the best player on your team doing right now with his health and his recovery, it would be irresponsible of that journalist not to do his job by getting some sort of response that's on the record from the head coach, from the CEO, about a subject as important as the health status of the most important player on the team.
And here's the thing I would add.
And he needs to be...
Well, that's the thing.
More.
First of all, the question was, what's the timeline? Which was a dumb question. But.
Yeah. Why is it not a dumb question?
Wait a minute.
I know we've argued about this.
You just declared it as fact a dumb question.
But
it's not by fact a dumb question.
I don't think it was a dumb question.
I think it is. Bill did.
Okay. Okay. Well, so two people think it is. The world thinks it's not.
Listen. Let me finish. But going back to what Olivier says, as a CEO of a company, you don't behave that way. You don't.
Right.
You don't demean the guy. Because you think he asked a dumb question, which I agree, it was a dumb question. I don't know the timeline. Neither does Rob Gronkowski. I mean, it depends. There's a lot of things between now.
But isn't that a great answer to my question?
What's that?
Right. I don't know.
That's my point. The way you respond.
But what I'm saying is,
if you're a CEO, you don't respond that
way. If you have a great answer for a question, it probably wasn't that dumb.
Well, no.
But on the other hand,
no, it wasn't a dumb question.
It was.
His response to that was because it's probably the culmination of so many questions that were dumb that he said, "Are you really going to ask me that?"
There weren't, though, Olivier. Olivier, there weren't dumb questions. None of the questions that were asked to him on that morning were dumb.
On that day, okay. You're right, Eric. There
weren't. I don't care if every question he gets is dumb.
But anytime he's been asked that timeline type of injury question, he's always treated it the same way.
I've never seen him treat it like he did it on Tuesday.
He looked like he wanted to punch the reporter who asked the question.
Yeah.
He really did.
I've always seen him say, "We don't get into specific." What? Yeah. Fine.
I've seen him. Demean.
I've never seen him bristle like that and demean a guy for that question.
I have.
I've seen him get belligerent in
only be, it's only Albert Breer last summer. He did kind of the same.
And there was actually more reason for that when it was a daily issue,
right? And that's why
he hasn't spoken to the media in.
Well,
however long.
A few weeks, a month.
A month. And so he hasn't been berated with the same question in a month.
And when Albert was constantly pounding him with the same timeline about the PUP and mm-hmm. all the stuff that Gronkowski was doing, now I see the reason that you're getting a little bit prickly. This is asking a guy what the timetable is for a very prominent player to return is not.
With a very run-of-the-mill injury,
dumb question.
By the way. Mm-hmm. Had this been a different injury, I might agree with you, Fred. If this were, you know, even if it were multiple infections, I agree with you. ACL is now basically a run-of-the-mill injury.
Yeah, but
yes,
wait a minute.
Any injury can have a different, hurdle, but this is a run-of-the-mill injury.
But hang on
in
a second.
You should have an idea.
It's not a dumb question
if
the person who asks the question really doesn't know the answer. If the reporter is saying, even if it was let's say it was some sort of neck or spinal thing, right?
And you're right.
And he doesn't know, and he figures, well, Bill, I assume, has talked to the doctors. Maybe they've given him some kind of answer. Let me ask Bill. And he says, "What's the timetable for the recovery?"
The response could be,
"Well, I don't know. I've talked to the doctors. They've given me all
you
different kinds
of
scenarios."
You don't have to be a jerk.
Well,
you don't
have
to be a jerk
about it. I think whether or not you think
the guy's
it was,
doing
I,
a job.
I think it was kind of dumb. Bill thought it was kind of. You don't have to react that way. That's
the reason Bill,
as a CEO,
and I think the reason Bill thought it was dumb.
I don't even think he thought it was dumb.
No.
I think he just wanted.
But he's
to
also not a CEO in the one sense of a CEO is of a public corporation, so he owes something to the people that are asking the questions. Bill, as Parcells would say, is in the business of collecting information.
It may not be
not
a public.
It.
Yeah, but
I
they
also
depend
think,
on the fans.
Well,
so,
I know,
and
but
I'm
he,
fine with that.
He, whoa! He has never a day in his life acted like he owes an answer to anyone.
Well,
so let's not
and
pretend that.
And I'm fine with that.
I shouldn't say that. One day in his life, when he held an Aaron Hernandez press conference,
that's true,
he felt like he owed answers. But other than that, he goes by the "we're collecting information, not dispersing."
He also, I think, I'm sorry to cut you off, Olivia. I just want to make this one last point. if it were a different reporter, if it were a non-regular Patriots beat reporter who asked the question, he might not have bristled so much.
Exactly.
Because he might have known this is somebody who doesn't see me every day and doesn't know that I don't answer questions like this. The fact that it was a regular Patriots beat reporter might have played a little bit into his being frustrated with having to answer it. But still, you have to understand that as journalists, we have a responsibility and have to ask certain questions whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And you're getting paid multi-millions of dollars to put up with it for a few minutes a day every so often in the off-season. Deal with it and act like a nice person, period.
I don't even need him to act like a nice person. I just need him to
be professional.
Yeah, he doesn't have to
That's
be demeaning.
I mean.
That's
being a nice person.
But he doesn't even have to be nice.
Yeah,
he just be professional. I thought that was borderline unprofessional, that answer.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. I didn't like it.
You think Robert Kraft liked it?
Olivier?
Not. Yes.
What do you got? We keep cutting you off.
The other thing I was going to say is that if in the, of course, he's not a typical CEO of a public company where he owes on a quarterly basis results for the shareholders. On the other hand, I was trying to take his defense a little bit. And then, of course, you know, he's being paid to deliver responses and to sit at meetings like that and to take the podium after you know, every single game and so forth. And therefore, but I believe he's a professional up to a certain point. I think Belichick is a person that expects to be challenged. He's a teacher. He expects to be challenged by questions that are relevant and questions that are more associated with about teaching the game to people that are smart about it and ask him good questions. So maybe he's wrong at sometimes losing his patience with questions that he may think are beneath him. But on the other hand, I think, you know, people may want to also try to, especially people that deal with him. I mean, you sometimes you talk to him, you see how his personality is and so forth, and, you know, maybe you've been taught well by him the type of questions you can and cannot ask, which is unfair because you have a job to do. But on the other hand, he's also an opportunity to raise the game of sports journalism, if possible, to try to get him to be more informative in terms of what the game of football is.
But yeah, I think you're giving him way too much credit for sort of what he's doing and that you think it's a conscious effort to improve journalism, whatever. But I also think it's inarguable to me there is not a more relevant topic to the 2014 Patriots than Rob Gronkowski's health. He is the most important player on this team this season moving forward who is not by any means a certainty at this point. So to me, there is no more relevant question than Rob Gronkowski's health.
I agree, but I think his responses are telling. We should all be concerned.
I don't agree with that either.
No, I don't.
And I certainly don't think he wanted to imply that.
No, and you know,
it's a run-of-the-mill ACL. I continue to...
And I don't think
is
he...
It? There's a timetable.
I mean, I hope it is, right?
I'm assuming it is. We've seen him. He's fine. He's recovering. He's, you know, we got Vine videos.
We saw that last time, too.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to... you know, I think there's an immediate backlash to the media on these things that I get defensive about being part of it, in that
you're
it's because
media?
He doesn't answer the question that we get upset. That's not, you know, if Bill's reaction was because he looked at Ben and said, come on, you know better. You know I don't answer those kinds of questions.
Perfect.
If that's why he did it,
that would have been perfect.
Then I understand.
Nice light breakfast.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Ben, come on.
Exactly, true. It was over a nice,
you know,
light morning breakfast.
Give me
breakfast.
One of those. Ben, come
no
on.
Reason.
You know better than that.
No reason.
Is a totally different thing, totally different tone.
Yeah, I agree with you guys.
So it's not about the fact that he didn't answer the question. As Ben said, I heard him talking about this morning. I knew he wouldn't answer the question.
You have to ask, though.
But you ask him the question to see what he does say. And I think that he was stunned that he got that response. Now, he blew it off a little bit, probably part out of pride. You know, you don't want to make it look like it really bothered you. But it would have bothered me. Had he treated me like that?
Oh, yeah. How can it not?
And he's never done that to me. So I don't know how I would have reacted or if I were in Ben's shoes, because he's never, ever done that to me. But I don't think it was a dumb question. I disagree with you, Fred. And I don't care how dumb the question is, unless it's a really argumentative situation, I don't think it ever warrants that response.
Yeah, I agree about
that. And I know you agree
part.
With that.
I do. And, you know, it reminds me of when Parcells was here and the kid asked him, did you out-coach?
Right. And that's a colossally dumb question, and I still thought Parcells was wrong.
Exactly.
For answering that
was
way.
A dumb question. Parcells called him a jerk in front of everybody.
Did he apologize later?
Afterwards.
He did, after
private.
The fact.
Oh, in private.
In private.
Not in front of everybody.
No, not in front of everybody. So he berated the guy in front of everybody and then apologized.
See, I kind of like that better.
Yeah. See, you can't win that because now you're apologizing just for a PR spin.
Exactly.
Not because you knew you were
he
wrong.
He doesn't want everybody else to.
Right.
I want the kid to know. I
effed up.
I didn't need to do that to you.
And he's the
I would
one
actually
I
appreciate
to.
That more.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Olivier. Thanks for
thanks,
the lunch.
Guys.
Thank you for the lunch,
call.
Olivier.
Yep. Time. Thanks.
Yep.
Just a little side note here. When I was on EEI the other day, I asked Michael Hawley if he immediately tweeted during the coach's breakfast. Because if you remember, Ben Volen's the one who called him out and said, Belichick being asked ridiculous questions on the radio right now.
Right.
I said at the breakfast when this was going, did you tweet out, Ben Volen asking
good memory.
And Hawley's like, no, we've made up and everything.
Yeah, I had forgotten
I
all
would,
about that.
Oh, I don't forget those things. Had that been me, I would have been tweeting.
Certain things he doesn't forget.
Right. Immediately, Ben Volen asking Belichick, ridiculous, even though I don't think it's ridiculous, I would have tweeted it just to rip him.
Right.
But he didn't. He took the higher road. So disappointing.
By the way, Andy bringing
maybe
back the corduroy shirt.
Maybe Hawley didn't think it was a dumb question.
When was it ever
mean back? Yeah. I was going to say. You mean,
was there a time when corduroy shirts were, like, a thing?
I guess.
It's very
how
comfortable.
Do you guess? Yeah.
And yeah. I wear it on cold days. I knew it would
you
be cold.
You guys almost look like you have the same shirt, only his is corduroy.
And mine doesn't have spunk on the right shoulder.
With those T-Rex arms, when you're running, the friction could cause a fire.
I love how you pretend you don't have short arms and fat shoulders.
Well, yours look more because
if anybody looks like a T-Rex, it's
no,
you.
No, see, Andy does all the bench, so the guys that do the bench, their elbows kind of flare out a little bit, and it makes them look like they're shorter.
It's not because you do the bench, it's because you want everybody to think you have big arms.
Right.
You put the watermelons.
Watermelons. So it makes your arms look shorter.
You look like Pedroia. You look like Pedroia.
They don't really hang. They don't really hang straight to the side. They kind of flare out at the elbow. You know.
You want to tell everybody
tough
what
guy.
You said about your stain?
No.
I go.
No.
I said no.
No. I asked if you wanted to tell everybody. So since you said no, I will. I asked. Did you have that stain when you put it on, or is that in the first hour of the day that he was here? Because I saw him at like 9:30 or whatever. And he goes, no, I think it's metastasizing or whatever. And I go, I don't think that's the word you want. That has to do with cancer. I think you mean lactating.
Yeah, I did.
So you said metastasizing instead of lactating.
Fred and his cancer jokes. Bada bing!
Well,
it's like Paul's bomb jokes.
The stain is getting bigger.
They're not bomb jokes. No. And my Andy didn't finish the marathon jokes. They're killing on the internet.
Wow. Oh, boy.
They are.
Let's see. Derek,
I do want to thank again the PFW Elite. They are coming up big.
Well, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Well, they're making nice donations. Anyone else who wants to contribute, you can find it on the PFW Elite
page. Who knew
you
could be bought so easily?
Or on my timeline, at Jumbo Heart.
How far away are you from your goal?
From my goal, money's been a little tighter this year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you raised your goal this year.
There's just so many
you?
More people running, and everybody's...
Didn't you up your goal this year?
A little bit. Just to a little bit more than last year. I put my goal as 7,500, and I'm at like 4,600.
Yeah, whatever short, you'll just make a, selling parts of your land off.
No, I'm going to call James Pettigrew and say...
Are you allowed...
No, you don't have...
Are you
but
zoned
you've
to cut up
threshold,
your land and
right?
sell it? If you wanted to?
What?
Could you partition off your land and sell it off?
I could sell an acre.
Are you zoned?
I think I have a 2-acre minimum in my area.
Why don't you do that? Make some money.
Because I don't want to sell it.
You don't need it.
I've had offers to buy some.
If you have a 2-acre minimum, how can you sell an acre?
Because I have 3.
Look, how could someone only buy one if there's a 2-acre minimum?
If any of the neighbors wanted to piece it together.
Oh,
I see.
There's a stretch next to me where actually the old lady's about to kick it that...
You're going to buy her up?
I kind of want to buy some land there, but there's like 12 acres and maybe they add a 13th acre, roads, different... Cause there's no question they're going to try to subdivide that.
Yeah.
I don't want people next to me.
Off the grid.
Yes.
Derek writes in, Andy,
why
the hate today?
Naked.
Andy has a lot of hate today.
No, I don't. What do I hate?
You seem angry about everything.
He does.
Do I?
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I feel the same as always, which might say something. But
I think you're a little bit persnickety even for you today.
Derek says, I would have wanted Jared Allen or Justin Tuck, but Sean Phillips would be an okay addition.
Nah.
He's only missed 8 games his whole career and had 9.5 sacks in 2012 and 10 in 2013.
Tavon Wilson
another guy to throw in the mix would do a lot for this team. On another note, Andy, glad you like Deion Buchanan. Really stood out on a terrible Washington State team. What are your thoughts on Jimmy Ward? And Paul, good job on the radio the other day. The sunshine calm intro was awesome. What was that?
My intro.
Oh. Isn't there a dot there?
Yeah. My theme music.
Dot com.
Oh, he had a space.
And being the idiot you are, you didn't know that.
The idiot.
Like, wow.
You know exactly what it is.
Reviews people, are coming up on
some
Friday.
Some people might call someone an idiot calls their boss an idiot.
I actually learned to
the
read.
The day before the reviews.
And as words matter, so does punctuation. It makes a difference.
Well, in your world, wouldn't they write, like, bracket, D-O-T? Isn't that how
I always write
right
sunshine.
In a script.
I always write dot in capitals, sunshine.com, and I put capital D-O-T.
Yeah, because, like, Ferrero, when he does on Twitter, isn't it Patriots D-O-T.com?
Sunshine Department of Transportation.com?
I don't know what... excuse me, Chris. I don't know what you're doing.
And Sam says the traffic's light because it's spring break for... or
no, his traffic has been light for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not.
Shut that down.
It's not.
Shut your pie hole. Come back when you know something.
I almost don't even want to talk about it because it's been so good, and
I don't want to jinx it.
I feel like I'm going to jinx it. I know, and I know how irrational that sounds. Before anybody makes fun of me, but
just isn't it possible that like there just haven't been accidents or something?
No, there was an accident yesterday as I was driving home. Two idiots, you know, collided in the third lane over. I just
no, that's proper use of idiot right there.
Well, how do you know?
Proper.
Might have been one idiot.
Like no. I'm saying because you called him an idiot the day before your review.
I see at least
that would make me an idiot.
Yeah. I see at least one accident a week.
If he's an idiot and I'm an idiot.
We're all idiots.
Like the idiot driving around on those bologna skid tires, driving into someone's yard.
The guy who couldn't go uphill.
Yeah. And when I told the story, how did I refer to myself?
Probably as an idiot.
As an idiot. For driving around on bologna skins.
Bologna skins. What is a bologna skin?
Yeah, it was like,
I've
just stolen that term, by the
way. Can't figure that one out? Come on.
No, but like.
That's not a Matt
bologna
Smith.
Doesn't have skin, does it?
Oh, yeah. They're flat. The skin there's no flat texture. Like
why do you have to take everything so super literally? Well, I shouldn't say everything. Why do you pick and choose what to take so literally?
Yeah.
When I call wide receivers off, right? That can't play shoemakers.
Yeah, because
do I really think they're making shoes?
No, but that makes sense.
Well, like salami has little bumps and ridges.
Right.
Bologna's flat.
And it's like slimy and slippery.
Yeah. Oh, it's not supposed to be slimy.
You ever had fried bologna? It's real good.
Yeah, I had it the other day.
A couple weeks ago, I could have done without the onions, but at Toby Keith's.
I'd make it and put it on an English muffin with a little mustard on top. It's really good.
I usually go with the Miracle Whip. I like the Miracle Whip fried bologna combo.
Yeah, I don't really like eating regular, like without it being fried.
Miracle Whip is more of a spread than a dip.
All right, next week on Third Grade Lunches, we'll be talking about Fluffernutter. All right, that's going to be
Fluffernutter, by the way. Somebody should fry that. I'd come to that idea. A fried Fluffernutter
could be good.
Would be
you get the Fluffernutting
great
in the middle. Yeah.
Yes, that would be phenomenal.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Big weekend coming up. I don't know why, but it's a big weekend, and that'll be it for anything.
I got 20 miles on Saturday. Woo!
All right, 20 miles for Andy.
I only wish that I was at the combine with him when he was doing it.
I'm going to run to Rhode Island.
All right, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.